about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Syphilis.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
After we eat, we can watch that YouTube footage of Miley Matlin calling movie phone.
Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Nast Mimti.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Nast Mimti.
You have selected 300. If this is the movie you'd like to see, say yes now.
No.
You have confirmed 300.
Take the good, you take the bad, and when you take them both, there you have the facts of life.
And now,
those white boys are not kidding around.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday morning. What's going on?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
Not much. Went to The Exorcist last night.
Ooh, the play.
The play.
Oh, really?
The Geffen. Yeah, with Brooke Shields and Richard Chamberlain. It was very scary. Hmm.
How do they do the stuff with the head turning around like they do in
the
movie?
The head didn't turn all the way around, but I will tell you that Penn and Teller was there, and he was a consultant.
No kidding.
And there was some serious levitation going on, which is very impressive.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I wouldn't have thought of The Exorcist as being a work that immediately demands to be performed on stage.
Right. You go, play? No, that's not going to work.
Me neither.
I mean, book, yes, first, and then movie. But play, that surprised me.
Yeah.
But it was good.
It was good. It's odd. I mean, I wasn't a giant fan, but some people came out and loved it. So. Yeah. Who knows?
How about them? It's a musical, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's very upbeat.
I'd love that so much if it were a musical. Hey, I actually have a question for you, Lisa, because you're the crazy pet lady, the single cat woman.
Yes. So sad.
What's the deal? Because I really don't know much about this. What's the deal with the people who can have service animals, not because they're blind or handicapped physically in any way, but for emotional support? What is that story? Because that seems to be more and more popular now.
Yeah. I met someone at the airport a couple of weeks ago who had a little dog with him, and it was a service dog, and I asked, I didn't know that this would be awkward, but I was like, so what is he a service dog for? And he said, emotional.
Right.
Does he just say emotional?
He's a nervous flyer.
So they give
him a
dog?
Calms him down.
Yeah.
You get your own dog, but the thing is they're becoming increasingly more popular. I mean, I now see dogs, you know, with people who are not blind and not physically handicapped, and people are bringing their dogs into, you know, restaurants and stuff now because it's an emotional or a support animal.
It's such a great scam.
And the reason I wonder if it's a scam.
Because Boner is going to become a therapy dog. I've got a test scheduled for him now. And because I took him into a Whole Foods one day in a case, and they said, I'm sorry, miss. You can't bring him in here unless he's a therapy dog.
You're
and I said, he's a therapy dog.
Oh, my God.
And they said, okay, just had to ask. And they didn't even check. But so once he is, I really could take him anywhere.
But only because you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to basically abuse the system is what you're doing.
Totally. But I'm also going to take him to like convalescent homes and stuff.
The reason this is in the news now is the Department of Transportation has a proposed new rule that they are discussing to allow therapy animals on flights, including pot-bellied pigs, miniature horses, and monkeys, who are all animals that are popularly used as therapy animals. Now, do we want to get to the point where monkeys are on planes? Is that where we're headed?
Not unless it's a Samuel Jackson movie.
Bean, I was on a flight 2 weeks ago from Florida.
I'm
telling you, there's a pot-bellied pig on the flight.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it therapy? Therapy?
I didn't find. Now that you mention all this, I wonder. But it was in a little case, and it was right, you know, 4 aisles behind.
It had a seat and everything.
Yeah. Well, it was sitting in the owner's lap, but it was in a.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In a case.
I've never seen. And how would you put a miniature horse on a plane?
Well, there are many questions. Wow. And what happens 4 hours into that flight when the miniature horse needs to do what the miniature horse does is my question. That's the biggest fear I have.
They're not potty trained, right?
No. I mean, you can potty train a pig, you can potty train a dog, but you can't potty train a monkey, right?
Right. They wear diapers.
Or
can you?
No,
they wear diapers.
Monkeys wear diapers, I think, Because monkeys are the least trainable. They'll start throwing it at everybody on the flight.
Would that be the best flight ever?
It would be the greatest.
It would.
There's a monkey throwing poo on my flight.
Now that you mention it, I am in favor of all of this. That would be the best.
Apparently, there is a non-discrimination on the basis of disability in air travel draft technical assistance manual that airlines use. And it does say that they do not have to admit what they call unusual animals, such as ferrets, rodents, spiders, snakes, and other reptiles. So you cannot have a therapy snake, for instance.
Well, that's good. I mean, really, a lot of people are so afraid of those animals, it would freak everybody else out.
Yeah, you're right. They'd need a therapy something to have that on the plane.
But there are lots of people who are freaked out by pigs, too. You know, if they don't have any experience with pigs, don't know anything about pigs, don't want to be around pigs.
Well, if I got on a flight with a pig...
Muslims, for instance, not crazy about being with a pig, you know?
If I got to fly with a pig...
But he's not running around.
I'm not scared of pigs, but I don't know that I want to be on a flight with a pig.
But he'd be in a little case.
I don't know. I make a lot of noise, probably. I don't know. Being for the reason you said, a lot of people don't have them and don't know much about them.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, a pig is the least of my concerns here just because... Trust me, they're just like dogs, okay?
Yeah.
You really wouldn't notice a difference. Your pig chased lightning
up onto a counter.
But I'm not sure I'm crazy about horses and monkeys on flights. I think we got too much going on in the air already. I don't know that I'm ready to sign off on
horses seem like a bad idea. Monkeys seem like the worst idea, so let's go with the monkeys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you imagine a monkey gone wild on a plane?
Yes.
That movie writes itself.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
All right, it has been decided. Everybody now must take a monkey on a plane.
Excellent.
Wow.
I mean,
that's what we've decided.
I got to get me a monkey.
You've got to get you a monkey.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Whatever you've got to say, I don't want to hear it.
What if it's Candace Bailey from Attack
that's
of the Show?
That's what I'm talking about.
What about that? What if I said that?
I'm back in. I'm back in.
We have to.
Ralph's going to be broadcasting live from San Diego, and Candace Bailey's going to be joining him in the studio down there. Very excited. Nathan Fillion will be on the program today.
Oh, cool.
Damn.
How about
He's the best.
Castle.
We have Silas Weir-Mitcher. Not sure I'm saying that right. Mitchell. Sorry, I'm having trouble reading the writing here, which is not mine for the first time. From Grimm. So we're going to talk to him. We have Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist, mm-hmm. on the program today.
He's got to be the king of Comic-Con, I would imagine,
I would think so. I would think he walks through the streets with a crown. Sure.
Yeah. How many times is he going to get laid over the course of the 4 days in San Diego?
He has a girlfriend.
How many?
So none.
Aziz Ansari will be on the show today. And it is your final day. This is your final chance to get tickets for Comic-Con, as it starts today, goes today through Sunday. So we got your tickets for that coming up. Ralph from San Diego with the Showbiz Beatnik.
If there's one thing I know, it's that movies on demand on cable is the best way to rent the newest and the hottest Hollywood movies instantly. You guys are with me on that, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And the Movies on Demand Lounge in the Hard Rock Hotel in the beautiful city of San Diego, California, home of Comic-Con 2012, is where our own Ralph Garman joins us now live on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, this rocks.
Is it a good deal?
I'm at Comic-Con. And in the studio that we're in, it's all glass. It's all windows. So you look right out onto the lobby of the Hard Rock Hotel, which has a giant Resident Evil Retribution promotion set up. And then you look out into the gas lamp district here, where you can see everybody getting ready for Comic-Con. People lining up already, by the way.
I'm sure.
For panels at Comic-Con. They were lined up as early as 2 days ago for some of them. Twihearts. And it's the excitement is in the air as we kick off San Diego Comic-Con 2012.
Hey, it's a big deal. I mean, you've been saying it's your Christmas. I mean, this is the happiest week of the year for you and your people, right?
We get 4 days of Christmas while you regular people just get the one.
Except the Jews. They get eight, so.
Yeah, but they get really crappy gifts. They get eight crappy gifts.
Well, we have much to bring you from San Diego today and tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Chris Hardwick later on today, Candace Bailey, and also Nathan Fillion. That's all on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here at 551.
Everybody talking about Nathan Fillion because they're doing the big Firefly reunion panel down here at Comic-Con this year, which, of course, was the series that did not last for long. Joss Whedon, of course, put it on Fox, and a hardcore fan base celebrating the 10th anniversary of that show. So,
and what was the movie, Ralph? What was the
Serenity?
Serenity.
What a great name of the ship. It was a great movie.
What a great movie that was, too.
Great series. If you've never seen it, it's worth picking up in the box set. All right, let's get to showbiz news. Katie Holmes has a new best girlfriend, and Tom Cruise is screwed because her name is Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's like, to use Comic-Con parlance, that's like a supervillain team-up for Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
The ex-wives getting together to chat about their former husband. Apparently, not public knowledge, but Katie and Nicole have been friendly and quite supportive of each other since they met for a private dinner get-together in 2006.
Can I tell you how the conversation started and the friendship?
Sure.
What do I do? How do I get out? You got out. How do I get out?
It's the same conversation I have with Jimmy Kimmel every time I see him. Kim Kardashian's in the news.
Who?
I'm sorry. Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. She, this is a great story. Apparently bystanders at a restaurant in Paris where she is on tour. Well, she's not on tour, but she's tagging along with her boyfriend Kanye West. They were in a French restaurant, and Kim apparently is trying to learn to speak French,
which is
hilarious because she can barely speak English. She was ordering in French and apparently ordered frog legs by accident. And was about to eat them when Kanye West stepped in and corrected the mistake and had her brought some chicken instead of eating the frog legs. To which I say, is frog legs the worst thing Kim Kardashian's ever put in her mouth?
No.
I don't think so. While we're talking about the Twilight Twihards who are lining the streets of San Diego this morning as we speak, Kellan Lutz from the Twilight franchise.
Is he one of the dogs?
I think he's one of the dogs. He loves dogs. He's not one of the dogs? We've got a Twiharder here right next to me named Aisa who will straighten me out. Who is Kellan Lutz? Is he a vampire?
Vampire.
He's a Cullen. Kellan's a Cullen? Oh, no wonder I'm confused.
Very confusing.
He is a huge animal fan. Isn't it ironic? He's a vampire, yet he loves dogs. He tweeted a picture of him and his spoiled little dog, Cola, in bed together. Jeez, it's like Psycho Mike.
Oh, how sweet.
But it turns out he's also a fan of reptiles. In an upcoming issue of GQ magazine, you can see him holding his pet four-foot alligator.
Is that code?
Nope. Okay. That is one of his pets. He's got an alligator. He believes that alligators are beautiful and are true dinosaurs, which, you know what, Kellan? They're not. They're not true dinosaurs. They're alligators. Dinosaurs were dinosaurs, and they're extinct.
There's a thing called science.
Yeah, look it up. Tom Hanks, he has celebrated a birthday this week, and he was out having a dinner with his buddies Martin Short and Steve Martin when he received a surprise birthday gift from New York Governor George Pataki, who was also dining in the same restaurant in New York City. Apparently, the governor sent over a box of chocolates and Dr. Pepper, because Forrest Gump loved Dr. Pepper, and of course, life is like a box of chocolates.
How many famous lines
from that movie?
How many years ago was that movie?
That was 20,
18, I guess.
1984. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think Tom Hanks said, "Hey, look, I know you're governor, but seriously, really,
catch up with the times,
Forrest Gump? You want to play some ping pong? Really? You want to just run together for a long time?"
Why not just send him a dress and say good luck with bosom buddies?
John Travolta and his wife Kelly Preston in the news. They were on the red carpet of John's movie Savages, and In Touch magazine has photos of the two of them putting on a public display of affection that would embarrass even Larry Flint.
Really?
Boy, are they showing John Travolta's heterosexual in these photos.
Look how much he loves women.
Oh, I'm so into this woman that is in front of me right here. You have no idea.
No.
I do not have any interest in getting a massage whatsoever at this moment.
No man has ever been more into any woman than I am this woman right now.
That is for sure. The brain trust over at Fox and Friends have upset the USA Olympic team and committee.
What is that? What's Fox and Friends?
Fox and Friends is the morning show that's on Fox News.
Okay.
It's kind of like their version of Today. Yeah, it gets good numbers. They were talking about the Team USA outfits for the opening ceremony.
Right.
Apparently the uniforms were designed by Ralph Lauren. And the crew there was upset because Team USA is wearing berets as they enter the ceremony. Because the beret apparently is not a good old American piece of headgear.
It is too
French. Gretchen Carlson, one of the hosts, said, "Is this the new American trend now? We're going to be seeing berets? And you have to pronounce it that way, too, because that's the French way," she complained. Steve Ducey, co-host, said, "Why not a baseball cap? Why not a cowboy hat? Why not do something very American?"
The co-host's name is Ducey?
Ducey.
Steve Ducey.
Ducey, yeah.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that. Imagine if the U.S. Olympic team walked out in London with cowboy hats. Just imagine what that would look like.
I think berets are going to be funny as hell, though, don't you? I mean, that's a terrible choice.
Tell that to a Marine, by the way.
No, the Marines can pull it off.
They kept complaining about it until a Marine actually wrote and said, the U.S. green berets happen to wear, berets, and that's how we pronounce it as well, even though it's the French way. So there may be some history of Americans wearing berets.
Sure. USA! USA! USA!
USA indeed. Channing Tatum, he may be starring in a film. Now, I can't believe they're going to make this, but it could be cool, I guess. They are bringing the story of Evel Knievel to the big screen.
Oh,
now, that name may not mean anything to some of our audience, but back in the 1970s and early 80s, Evel Knievel was like a real-life superhero. He was a stuntman who would jump stuff with his motorcycle. But, you know, it wasn't like today with the fancy motorcycles or whatever. He would take, like, a Harley, just a stock Harley, and put it on a ramp and jump 24 buses.
And I think he never made it.
He made it a couple times.
He wrecked every time.
He had a couple of spectacular fails, but he became famous for the stuff that he did jump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But although he did the video of him jumping the fountains of Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas is still one of the most painful things you can ever watch.
It looks like a rag doll.
Just bouncing along the strip in Vegas like a rubber ball. Anyway,
Snake Canyon was not a win in Idaho.
No, it was
right?
not
a
yeah.
win.
Yeah. So Channing Tatum in talks with producers to star as Evel Knievel in the story of his life based on a book called Life of Evel in 2008. So I like the idea of that.
I think that could be good. He was crazy.
He also worshipped Satan. That's why they got his nickname.
That's not the case at all.
What are you talking? It's Evel Knievel.
It's E-V-E-L, he spelled it.
Right.
So, to make it not evil. But I know his son, Robbie. I know Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior, man.
That's true. He's the captain, you know. Admiral. What is he?
He was the captain.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
No answer.
World may never know.
He's made it up.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Rodriguez from Lost is 34 years old today. I'll be hanging out with her later this weekend.
Oh.
She's in the new Resident Evil movie. Looks great. Topher Grace from That 70s Show, of course, is 34 years old. Actress Anna Friel, so cute on Pushing Daisies, 36 years old. Actress Cheryl Ladd, one of Charlie's Angels back in the day. And at 61, still looks great. Not as great as Richard Simmons, who also celebrates his birthday today. He's 64. Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac is 69. And actor and comedian Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby celebrating 75%.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. We have Aziz Ansari coming up in a few minutes and your tickets for Comic-Con and Chris Hardwick. Within the next hour.
Our tickets for Chris Hardwick? Really? We're giving away?
Yes,
that's fantastic. I don't know that we'll ever really... We all have our theories, but I don't know that we'll ever really find out for sure what happened between Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, why their marriage fell apart after 5 years. But people are speculating that it has something to do with the growing influence of Scientology on young Suri's life. One report I saw on the radio, on the TV this week, rather, was that she just started noticing her daughter was acting weird. It was acting weird because she had been, in contact with the Scientologist who had been auditing her and asking her all sorts of questions that were kind of changing the way she behaved. And Katie said, this scares me. I don't want my daughter to go down that path.
TMZ had a story about back in 2005 that Katie Holmes was watching this happen. Like some of the other kids were going through what they call SECT testing, SET testing, and they would ask them questions. And the first question they asked them, what has somebody told you not to tell? Like, they want to know the secrets right off the top.
Wow, really?
And she didn't want Suri to have to go through this whole process, and this is about the age where they start it. So that's a lot of what people are surmising is what happened in the marriage. But we have Tom Cruise on the phone.
What? Tom Cruise is talking to us? He's not talking to anybody.
Why not ask him? Hey, Tom.
I still love women.
Right, we know. No one's doubting that, Tom. I'm sorry to
Good morning,
hear.
Timothy. How are you guys?
We're very good. How are you?
We're fine, but I'm sorry to hear about your third divorce. It does not seem like maybe you are cut out to be the married type.
I'm not going to give up. I never give up. I'm a man of a strong will,
right.
And I will marry every goddamn woman on this planet if I have to.
But the suggestion is, if you've already failed three times, why put yourself through it a fourth?
Have I failed? Really? Have I failed, or have they failed?
Well, oh, I see. Just, so
maybe they're just suppressive personalities. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so the common denominator here in all three of the failed Tom Cruise marriages is not Tom Cruise.
No.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Now, bitches be crazy.
Bitches do be crazy, and I got to back you on that.
You know who taught me that?
What?
Zeno taught me that.
That's from Zeno, huh? Wow.
That's one of the messages Zeno left before he left our planet when the H-bomb went off in the volcano.
And you're not supposed to be telling that part.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the top secret stuff.
When we killed those people in the desert.
You're not supposed to be telling that part either.
Oh, let's talk about this this SEC checking. Now, that stands for security checking. Is that right?
That's right. When we put you on an e-meter and we ask you some important, pertinent questions about your personal life so we can make sure that you are clear and that your thetans are not all gummed up, and we make sure that you are loose and flexible in your spirituality.
Loose and flexible.
Okay. Yes, you need to have a very gymnastic soul.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but is this?
I don't either.
Was this part of the problem? Was that Suri was getting to the age where you wanted to start this process?
Yes, I wanted to sec check her. I wanted to put her on the e-meter and ask her some important questions, and Katie didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
How does this? Forgive my ignorance here, Mr. Cruise, but how does this e-meter work? Is it like a lie detector where somebody says something and you can tell whether they're telling the truth or not, or whether it's emotionally affecting them, or what do you look for in an e-meter?
No, a lie detector is a piece of flimsy technology that can only read your respiration and your heart rate. The e-meter can actually read your soul, and we can see if there is any problems with your spirituality and if you have any blockages in your thetans.
I don't think anything can read your soul. I don't think that's scientifically possible.
Don't be glib. I'm an expert on this, okay?
All right.
That's why I sent over an e-meter for you to use.
Oh, that's what this is. This is an e-meter.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an e-meter in front of you. I want you to hold that. I'm going to ask you some important sec-checking questions, and then we'll be able to determine whether you are worthy to be a Scientologist or not.
It looks like two vibrators. Do I have the right thing?
Yeah, take one of them and stick it.
Okay, careful, Tom.
In your right hand.
Okay,
Take the other one and stick it. In your left hand.
Left hand, all right.
All right. This is fascinating. We've heard so much about the e-meter. Now we're going to actually see how it works. All right, Kevin, you're all hooked up?
Yep.
Okay, that's right.
Let me ask you some important spiritual questions.
Okay.
Do you still lick parking meters? Answer the question. Answer the question.
No. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Parking meter licker.
But why do you need to know that?
How many times a day do you punch the penguin?
And by punch the penguin, you mean?
You know.
Five.
Five times a day?
All right, six. All right, six? Seven.
You're a liar. Are you still keeping loose change in your butt?
What are you talking about?
What kinds of questions are these,
Tom? No, just answer it.
I'm not keeping.
You've stopped keeping loose change in your butt?
All right, I'm still keeping change in my butt.
Right. Have you stopped having sex with llamas?
I don't have sex with llamas. That's ridiculous.
Have you ever had sex with Lorenzo llamas?
No. Yes. This sucks. No wonder kids don't want to go through it.
When was the last time you asked a massage therapist for sex?
Yes. What time is it? I don't think either.
We just added that question. We had to.
Comic-Con 2012 is underway in San Diego. Ralph Garman is broadcasting live from the Hard Rock Hotel. If you're heading on down and want to stop in and see him, we are all going to be down there tomorrow. Got a lot of great stuff from San Diego coming today. Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist, is going to be joining us in a few minutes. We also have Nathan Fillion from Firefly. The big reunion is happening. 10-year reunion is happening. And Candace Bailey from Attack of the Show. All of that coming up here on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, a man who's not at Comic-Con, Aziz Ansari, who's on the phone with us. How are you, Aziz? What's going on, man?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
You are back with the easiest gig in show business, doing some more voice work for a cartoon. It's the new Ice Age Continental Drift movie. What's new with Squint?
Squint is the name of my character. The bad guys in this movie are these like pirates. The lead pirate is Captain Gut, voiced by Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones.
Sure.
And I play like... a low-level member of the pirate crew, like the smallest person in the pirate crew that, like, talks a lot of trash but doesn't really hold his own. fighting-wise. And it was a lot of fun. Yes, it's a very, very plum, fun gig.
Tell us about the gig, because it seems to us, and of course we've never done it, so we don't know, but it seems to us like doing this kind of gig would be great. You go in a couple of days, probably 2 hours each day, you're done.
It's pretty easy. It's not a, it's not a really difficult thing, but it's super fun. Yeah, and you just go in, and they're like, all right, now say, you know, look out, we got to go. And you just go, look out, we got to go. A couple more times, look out, we got to go. do one where you just emphasize, gotta, look out, we got to go. then it's a wrap.
Does it get ridiculous? Or do you sometimes go, I've given you every reflection that I can. What's going on?
No, they're pretty reasonable. You do a few versions and you're good to go. And you get to improvise some stuff and everything and... yeah, it's fun.
And yes, I meant inflection, Mead.
and by the way, the end of this conversation has to be the Chris Rock line, which is, and then they give you $1 million.
That's how that works. No, I didn't get paid quite that much, I don't think. But,
does everybody film all their stuff separately? Or are you ever there with Peter Dinklage or Jennifer Lopez or Dennis Leary or any of the other actors in the movie?
I'm with Jennifer Lopez all the time anyway.
Yeah. That's true. You guys carpool anyway, so... but do they ever put you in a booth together to react against one another, or does they just put that all together in editing afterwards?
I'm usually there by myself, but I think sometimes people will be in the booth together. But for my stuff, I was by myself most of the time.
No one wants to work with Aziz, right?
Yeah, do you get the idea you're the only one that was by yourself, and then everyone else would come in?
I don't know. I feel like maybe they're all having fun together, and they're like, let's like leave that guy by himself. I film all the Parks and Rec stuff by myself, too. I like film by myself on a green screen. And they, like, put me in.
this is the voice of Aziz Ansari here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who producer Dave reminds me, Aziz, you were with us last year. I totally forgot that you were with us on the show at Comic-Con last year. You came by talking about 30 minutes or less, remember?
Oh, yes, that's right. Are you guys down to Comic-Con yet? Or are you going this weekend?
Ralph's down right now, and we're going to be broadcasting tomorrow.
Oh, cool. That'll be fun.
So fun. Hey, I wanted to ask you a couple of other things since I know what a huge music fan you are. I know you're a little bit past your infatuation with R. Kelly because he's not as crazy as he once was. But are you still following his music? Like, are you digging his 70s retro stuff that he's been doing the last couple of records, or are you over him?
I haven't really checked it out as much, but I'm sure it's good.
Crazy is better, though.
Huh?
Crazy is better.
I'm sure there's still some amazing things he's doing. Someone was showing me his book, Diary of a Solo Coaster, Diary of Me. That looked pretty interesting.
Yes, I understand. R. Kelly loves R. Kelly is what we learned when we read that book.
We know
I
that.
I had a chance to pick it up. And I want to talk to you about...
Solo Coaster.
Solo Coaster's strong, right? And I want to talk to you about your friend Kanye. Now, you were in the Otis video, and now you're in a movie that Kanye made that I guess at some point we're going to be able to see, at least a short film. I'm not sure I fully understand what this is all about. Can you help me with that?
You know, he did a movie for... My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, when that album came out, he did, like, this movie where he played, like, tracks underneath, like, these, like, crazy visuals and stuff. And he just did another movie like that for the Cruel Summer album he's putting out. And I just did, like, a very, very brief appearance in it. But this one he shot on something called the 7-screen experience, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's shown on 7 large screens, which is
something
I've never heard of before. But, yeah, he screened it at Cannes, and apparently went really well. And I think he's going to try to do screenings in, like, New York and L.A. and everything eventually. But I haven't seen it, but I heard it's cool.
Have you gotten to the point where you realize how bizarre it is that you get a call from Kanye West and you're going to do a film? Is that just normal everyday life?
Yes, believe me. I know it's bizarre, but I think it's hilarious, and I'm happy to go on random little adventures like that.
What on earth can the possible advantage be of showing a movie on 7 screens at one time? I don't even understand why that's better.
I mean, it's just like an immersive experience. There's one screen in the middle, and then two to the left, two to the right, one on top, one on bottom. And, I mean, it's just like IMAX or anything else. It's like has so many different... But it's shot where, like, there's different footage on each of those screens.
That sounds cool.
I gotcha. Okay.
I bet it's pretty cool, man. That guy doesn't mess around.
Yeah.
As much of a hip-hop fan as you are, have you ever tried to rap yourself, Aziz?
No, no, I haven't. I draw the line there.
See, that's unusual for a celebrity, because so often a celebrity thinks, hey, I'm really good over here, I bet I can be really good over there, and they just, you know, they embarrass themselves by going in and trying something like that. I mean, I suspect you would be really good at it because you talk really fast and you've got a great rhythm to your speech. I suspect you could probably do it, but it's just not something you feel, huh?
I mean, let's be honest. We all know I would kill it if I had to, but I don't have that itch.
You would kill it if you had to. That's true.
The film is called Ice Age Continental Drift. As I understand, it's already been out for a couple of weeks overseas, and it's just made enormous cash, and it hasn't even opened in the U.S. yet, right?
I think so. I don't know. But it comes out this weekend and here, I believe.
Are you positive you're in it?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right.
Ice Age Continental Drift opens up everywhere tomorrow. You can follow Aziz on Twitter at Aziz Ansari and AzizAnsari.com. It's always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Ralph Garman is in San Diego right now for Comic-Con 2012 at the Movies on Demand Lounge in the Hard Rock Hotel. We're going to be there tomorrow. Speaking of Comic-Con, Ralph, are you telling me that again today, right now, we have more passes to give away to be on the convention
floor?
You can't
get these passes anywhere. They're not available. They don't exist. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we have them, and we're giving some away.
By them, we have a final pair.
We have the last one.
This is it. Final pair, your final chance to win, because Comic-Con starts today, goes through Sunday. So the final pair is coming up next.
If you win, just get in the car and just come down
That's
here
right.
now.
That's right. Quit your job.
Stuff's going on.
Quit your job and head down to San Diego.
That's right.
So call it now, 1-800-520-1067. You're going to have to play a game. You're going to have to win them. It would help if you know superheroes. Maybe not, depending on
Lisa. It would help if the competitors knew superheroes,
yeah,
too.
Correct.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
But we're going to give it a try. If you want to call now, we got the last pair coming up just after the top of the hour. Time for the
American
Showbiz Beat.
American Idol.
Time for the right.
I'm so glad I'm San Diego. Even you can't ruin my mood when I'm down here. American Idol needs a new judge. You know, they lost one.
Who'd they
J-Lo.
Lose?
J-Lo.
Oh, J-Lo quit. That's right.
She's out. She's too big for it now.
Yeah.
She's too big for American Idol. You know, which is funny, because I would think a show like American Idol, the vast expanse of that show, you know, they would have room for judges of, you know, as many judges as they want. They could have her. They could have other people. Because I think when it comes to judging, there's always room for J-Lo. No! Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
I can't believe she quit, by the way. That's
I can't either. Stupid move.
Crazy. Stupid move.
They are looking at a long list of people. Names are being tossed around who will be the judge on the next season of American Idol. Mariah Carey's name has been brought
yes,
up.
She's crazy.
Yeah, she's a hot mess. That'll be fun. Adam Lambert. He's fabulous.
But not crazy.
Not crazy, but talented and sort of smart.
Sure.
Fergie. How about Fergie? But Fergie there on the set wetting her pants over
you
people.
Do, you do have the pee factor.
And then how about this name? Charlie Sheen.
That's really? Just a name so people will talk about American Idol. That's not
serious.
That
is not just a name. Executive producer Nigel Lithgow said that he's had conversations with Charlie's people about having him on the show to host.
To judge. I would do that if I were them.
But don't you need some knowledge?
It doesn't matter.
Like, real knowledge?
What you need is people to watch your show. That's really what you need.
That's true. That's a good point.
Anything.
So, I mean, I would
hire. Howard Stern's doing America's Got Talent, right? Yeah, he's not a singer or whatever.
No way.
Charlie Sheen said he would be interested if the people over at Anger Management, his new show, would get on board with the idea. And he said
they will soon enough.
He might have some free time if the ratings continue to slip the way they are. He said he once said the American Idol producers to match 20% of his weekly salary to give donations to his favorite charities, which are Autism Speaks, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and the Boys and Girls Club. So not only do they have to pay him whatever his salary would be, but they have to take another 20% and give it to these charities.
Huh.
So, I mean, it's not impossible that a deal could happen, but I can't imagine that the producers would want to pay 120% of a salary versus paying 100% of a salary to someone.
He could just donate 20%, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could.
Nope. The producers would have to do it.
Even at 120% of Charlie Sheen's salary, that's still a lot less money than they're paying for J-Lo.
Yeah,
that's true.
More news from TMZ.com. Kristen Chenoweth, the actress. Lisa knows her because mm-hmm. she's been in a lot of Broadway plays. She's joined the cast of The Good Wife, and she may be regretting her choice. Yesterday she was on the set of The Good Wife, filming her her early scenes for her run on the show, where she was hit by a light falling out of the sky and knocked unconscious.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she had to be taken to the hospital. A witness on the set thought she was dead at first.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Our K-Rock microphones were there. But apparently she was just knocked out, and after paramedics arrived, they took her to the hospital, and it turns out she was okay. But that's scary stuff, one of those light drops from the
glove.
Channing Tatum's in talks to star in a new movie. Hollywood Reporter says that the Magic Mike star is talking to producers about playing Evel Knievel on the big screen. Evel Knievel, for those of you who don't know, was a big stuntman in the 1970s who made headlines by doing crazy motorcycle jumps. At one time, he had all the records for jumping buses and cars and long distances and stuff like that have since long been broken, but he was kind of the first.
At that time, was there anyone else doing it?
Not really, no. I mean, they would happen at carnivals and stuff. It was sort of a low-rent profession. He was the first guy who made it sort of an upscale event. You know what made him was the fact that ABC, back in the day when there was only three networks, desperately needed content for its Wide World of Sports show, which was on the weekends in the afternoon. And they started showing all kinds of bizarre competitions, like the World's Strongest Man competition. And they started covering Evel Knievel's jumps. And that's what kind of made him a star.
Oh, I gotcha.
But, yeah, he was crazy and, by all accounts, a womanizer and a boozer and all good things. So
he's dead now, right, Ralph?
He has passed away, yeah. I think he broken every bone in his body at one point or another.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, it's good stuff. There's going to be another vacation movie.
Yeah!
You remember the Chevy Chase vacation films?
Barely.
All right!
They are bringing them back. They're going to reboot the franchise with an actor... reportedly playing Rusty Griswold, who was the son of Clark Griswold, Chevy Chase, in the original films. That actor has been announced.
All right.
Ed Helms of The Office, Hangover fame.
That's pretty good.
Apparently in talks to play Rusty Griswold, taking his family on vacation. And I'll tell you, some crazy stuff happens when they go try to go on vacation. It's really hard to go on vacation. Word on whether Chevy Chase will show up or not, but they should have Chevy come in and play his dad or whatever.
That's good casting.
Funny, right?
And they could get Randy Quaid, probably, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he's available.
We'd have to track him
down. Isn't the Hollywood Hit Squad still trying to take him
that's
out
right.
or something?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He might still be in hiding. And today marks the 50th anniversary of the Rolling Stones. 50 years!
Wow.
Of the Rolling Stones. Band played its first gig on July the 12th, 1962 at the Marquee Club in London. That's insane. 50
it
years.
Is crazy. And it may
still
not be
together and playing.
Fashionable to say this, and Kevin will yawn, but one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. Top five, definitely, I think.
You can't
Amazing deny band. It. Amazing band.
The fact that those guys have been together and played and toured and recorded for 50 years is...
That is unbelievable.
It's unparalleled, yeah. I think, in terms of... I can't think of any other band that's been together that long. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born on today, July the 12th. Michelle Rodriguez of Lost Fame is 34 years old today. She's starring in the new Resident Evil film, Retribution, that I will be doing the panel for this week. I'm looking forward to seeing Michelle. Last time I saw her was last Comic-Con for that Battle Los Angeles. Remember that movie where the audience came in?
I love that one.
That film.
Yeah.
Topher Grace from That 70s Show is 34. Anna Friel from Pushing Daisies turns 36. Cheryl Ladd, former Charlie's Angel, 61. Richard Simmons, 64 years old today. Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac. Talk about another band that's been together for a long time. She's
just announced yesterday they're getting back together, Ralph.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Just announced yesterday.
It's Woo! Crazy.
Can't keep them down.
Wow. It's all good news for me.
And actor, comedian Bill Cosby celebrates his 75th. Birthday by asking his doctor, "What are these growths on my face? Where are they going from?" Have you seen him lately?
No,
he's got like mushrooms growing on his face. Something's going horribly wrong with Bill Cosby.
He does have whatever Morgan Freeman's got. Bill Cosby's got times 10.
They are small black people are growing out of his face. That's all I know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Chris Hardwick, the Nerdist himself, joins us in minutes. What are you singing there, Ralph? What are you
singing? Oh, that's Dave,
unfortunately.
I'm going to win. is always full of braggadocio.
Ralph is broadcasting from San Diego right now for Comic-Con 2012 at the Movies on Demand Lounge in the Hard Rock Hotel. We'll all be there tomorrow for Comic-Con 2012. This is your last chance to win passes for Comic-Con because obviously, duh, it's already started and it's completely sold out. So if you want to be at the San Diego Convention Center in person, now's the time to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 for the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to
Comic-Con.
All right, Ralph Garman, we have our contestants on the line. We've got Matt and Gary, I guess, are going to be joining us here in a moment. But
hello,
what are you laughing about?
What's funny?
Gary.
Refresh our memory, Ralph, on how the title fight is played for this very special Comic-Con edition.
What we've done is provide Dave and Lisa both with a list of superheroes, both DC and Marvel, from, of course, the comic book history of both of these storied comic book companies. And what they need to do is describe for our contestants the name of the superhero without using any of the words in the name of the superhero.
So they have to get the listener to say the name of the superhero, and then they keep moving and keep moving. You get as many as you can in 45 seconds.
That's right. There's seven on the list, and they try to get as many of the seven as they can in 45 seconds. Whoever does it, whoever gets more of them or does it quickest will be our winner.
And I love this because they, A, will not be familiar with very many of them, and B, have not seen the list until they open it live on the air. Matt, we're going to give you the opportunity to pick who you want to be your partner. Who do you want to play with, either Dave or Lisa?
I'm going to go with... Lisa on
do you want to get stabbed or do you want to get shot? Those are options.
Pretty much
I guess you don't want to go to Comic-Con.
I think he is.
All right. Since he gets to pick his person, then we make him go first. That's the way this works. So it's going to be Lisa opening up the envelope. You're going to name as many as you can in 45 seconds. And again, if you want Lisa to pass, if you give up on one, go ahead and just say pass, and she can always come back to it if she still has time at the end. Okay, you ready to play?
Ready to play.
Good luck.
This is like a bird, an eagle, or a falcon.
Birdman?
No, it's a different kind of bird, but it's like a falcon. They have them in California.
Pass.
All right. This is USA, and he is the head of a ship. Oh, okay, he fought the Nazis.
Superhero head of a ship.
Forget that. He fought the Nazis in the 40s. He is.
This is not your fault.
Captain America?
Yes!
Yes!
Wow.
He got one! Wow.
All right. Saran wrap is.
Okay.
Final tickets.
The bird that she was looking for is Hawkman, which was a fine clue, but if you've never heard of Hawkman, you're probably not going to come up with it.
I thought they said Hawkman.
No,
you said Birdman.
Birdman.
Yeah. Sorry, Matt. Birdman.
Then there was Captain America, and we were hoping for Plastic Man, but of course the time ran out. So not a great
performance. He fought the Nazis. I kept waiting for him to say Churchill.
Oh, man.
All right, so one is the number to beat. Let's see how Gary and Dave do. Gary is on line 8. Not a lot of pressure on you here, Gary, except for the fact that you've got the King of Mexico factor. So
let's
we're
go.
Have to just wish you some good luck here, sir.
You ready?
Yes.
There you go. All right, not a man, but a...
Fish, dog, boy.
What? Man and... Come on, if you're not a man, you're what? What are you if you're not a man?
Woman.
All right.
Wonder Woman?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, this is an insect. It's,
Ant-Man.
There you go.
Boom!
We got a winner. Boom.
We got a winner.
Boom! 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 That's right, Gary.
21 seconds.
It's about how long Dave usually lasts. Gary, please tell me that you are excited about getting in your car right now and driving down to San Diego for Comic-Con.
Sir, you have no idea how excited I am. I'm actually in the Comic-Con documentary that they put out last year. I'm in the credits. I'm in the video of the credits, and we were so bummed that we couldn't get passes, and my friends are going to be so pissed at me, the friends that I'm in the video with. They're going to be so annoyed that
That's
I
so
had
great.
Tickets. They're just going to kill me.
That's fantastic. Matt, hang
Somebody
up on
really
yourself
wanted them.
And never call us again.
Okay.
Okay. And thanks for playing the game.
A lot of great stuff coming from San Diego today here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Nathan Fillion himself talking about the 10th anniversary Firefly reunion. Also, Candace Bailey from Attack of the Show is going to be on with us. And Silas Mitchell from Grimm joins us right now. Ralph, you want to introduce the mayor of San Diego?
Yeah, it used to be there was a battle going on for who was the king of Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Kevin Smith was in the running for a while, and people have come and gone. But now it is official. The king is dead. Long live the king. The new king of Comic-Con, Chris Hardwick, is here, everybody. Yeah!
Chris Hardwick himself.
Hello, everyone. I am but a mere servant.
You are the king, sir.
Now, before Comic-Con even began, you did this ridiculous race. What's it called? Attack of the Force? Or what's
what?
Force of the Course?
Course of the Force.
Course of the Force, right.
I think you're just mixing up Star Wars words.
I know.
You've heard.
What is
the Jedi Force.
What is it? Wikipedia?
Empire.
What is this thing where people dress like stormtroopers and walk 100 miles? I don't even understand what it's about, Chris. You were like the host of the thing, right?
Yeah, we put on a... we partnered with Lucasfilm, and we put together basically a Olympic torch-style lightsaber relay run that started in Santa Monica and went all the way to Comic-Con for 5 days for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And it was the first year, so I didn't know if anyone was really going to show up. And it was unbelievable. Like, the costumes, people showed up and ran, like, as stormtroopers or other characters, the Sith, Doctor Who. Like, it was amazing.
Now, Lucas has said he wants to go back and redo it, right? He wants to change some things.
We've added
some characters.
We added a CGI Jabba.
Added some Ewoks.
No, it was great. It was unbelievable. They were so... when we first pitched the idea, they brought us up to Skywalker Ranch, and we got to go into this facility that had the original everything. Oh, droids, no. Han and Carbonite, the Ark of the Covenant, all the original matte paintings.
Oh, my God.
It was mind-blowing.
Is it like a vault? Is you go in and it's all...
It's like a warehouse.
Unreal.
And they walk in and they see the look in your eye and they're like, put your hands in your pockets.
Yeah. And I'll take it.
Frisk you on the way out.
Yeah, exactly. They do search you. But does this mean that you actually walked from Santa Monica to San Diego in 5 days?
He was the host, Bean.
Yes. You didn't actually participate in the race, though.
I did run a couple legs of the race, but the pace vehicle that we rode on most of the time was a replica of Jabba's sail barge from Return of the Jedi. And so, we were, because people are walking, like 3 miles an hour, it stopped traffic all the way down the coast. And so the cars would back up and they'd be like, hey, what the hell? And then they would see the Jabba the Hutt barge and like a Sith running. They'd be like, that's awesome. So it was really... It was a super fun experience.
Can you imagine Homeland Security on that one stretch of the five with people running north and then you guys going south trying to figure out what's going on?
Going right by Camp Pendleton. Like, under attack!
Star Trek fans driving by giving the finger.
Oh, there were people who came in Federation uniforms and ran in it and did the, live long and prosper hand sign.
Awesome.
It was really fun.
Chris, how many years in a row is this for you at Comic-Con?
This is my 10th Comic-Con.
Wow.
This is my 10th Comic-Con. I mean, the 10th San Diego Comic-Con, not counting all the other cons all over the country.
Right, yeah, because you go around the country to various events, right?
That's what the king does. The king must attend.
Of course. Yeah, the king's got to be all over the kingdom.
He must service all of his citizens.
Ralph, did you have to kiss his ring when he came in today, or how does that work out?
I did, and not just his ring.
Yeah.
Well, I won't get into it.
I didn't say where I was wearing the ring, or what kind of ring it was. Yeah.
Prince Albert!
I have a prince.
You're the king.
But his name is Albert.
Kiss the prince.
I want you to kiss the prince.
I almost don't know where to start with all the things you have going on this weekend, but let's start with The Walking Dead because that's starting to ramp up already. Yes. Have you seen much of the new season yet?
I went to the set. I was on the set for a few days because we
did the king because he's the king. That's why.
Right.
I just walked on. No, because we did a Talking Dead episode last weekend, and so I saw the prison set, and I tried to avoid spoilers as much as possible because I don't like to know too much going into our show.
I'm not going to watch episode one and I'm going to see you wandering through the background, am I?
Hey guys!
Just waving in the background. Looking into the camera like Pee Wee Herman, just appearing around.
Hey, like the one Grip from Wizard of Oz where he's like, I'll just duck behind the set.
What's going on
behind
here?
The monkeys. Yeah. But Walking Dead looks, the stuff that I've seen looks absolutely amazing, and Michonne is going to be so badass.
Are you going to do the escape here at Petco Park?
If I have time, I'm going to. I think you and I probably have similar schedules, but every minute is accounted for at Comic-Con. So
you can't even really enjoy it anymore when you're working this so much.
We enjoy it differently because we get to present things that we really love, but you and I are – it's a luxury problem, but we don't really get to walk – I got to walk the floor a little bit last night for preview night, and there was some – and people were already sold out of stuff. Like, I tried to buy a portal gun from Portal already sold out.
That's ridiculous trying to get
that.
There's a brand new Batmobile.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
There's
that's
a
gone.
Brand new 1966 Batmobile from Hot Toys on the floor. I have to get there.
Oh, there's a whole Batmobile exhibit.
I know. They have all the Batmobiles out here in front of the Bayfront Hotel. All of them from all the movies and TV shows.
Every single panel that Ralph is supposed to do, they're going to have to pull him off the Batmobile to get him to go do.
I will be humping the tailpipe of every Batmobile.
You're not going to fall for label that other tailpipe. Again, all right.
Chris Hardwick is here on the Kevin and Bean Show live from Comic-Con in San Diego. There at the Movies on Demand Lounge, Hard Rock Hotel. You can meet Chris, by the way, at the BBC America booth, and that is going to be this afternoon. Is that right? At 3:30?
That sounds good.
Okay. And then you're doing your...
Are you still the Minister of Comedy over there on the BBC?
Yes. No, we're not. I don't know if we're doing Ministry of Laughs anymore, but we're still doing the Nerdist TV show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And who's on your... you're doing your panel immediately after that. There's an actual Nerdist Channel panel. Who's on that for you this year, Chris?
Yeah, the Nerdist Channel panel is Saturday at noon in the Indigo Ballroom, which is in the Bayfront Hotel across from the Convention Center. It's me and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
But he's so smart.
He's pretty smart. He's pretty smart. And we got
what do you
Baba
mean by
Bowie.
That, Bean? What do you mean by that? But he's so smart. What do you mean?
I will let you read between the lines.
What are you saying about Chris?
He's we had to bring up the intelligence quotient of the panel. So we had Neil Tyson come out, and then Gary Delabate is on the panel, and Alex Albrecht and Allison Hayslip and Chloe Dykstra, and so it's gonna be fun. We have a bunch of footage of stuff we haven't shown, stuff from Neil Patrick Harris's show and stuff like that. So
fun stuff. All right, you can follow everything that's going on with Chris this weekend at Nerdist.com or follow him on Twitter at Nerdist. We have many more questions for the King, and we'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris Hardwick is our guest in San Diego today from Comic-Con 2012, of course, from the Nerdist podcast and the Nerdist channel. By the way, I saw you on some sort of mainstream news channel. I'm watching it, and all of a sudden I hear your name, and I look up, and you're in the financial news for the Nerdist channel being sold? What happened? What's going on?
Really?
Are you the man now? What happened?
Legendary Entertainment, who was an investor in Nerdist, who Legendary, you know, make Dark Knight and 300 and Hangover and Man of Steel, a bunch of great movies. They acquired us. So
wow.
We
acquired you.
Was it a hostile takeover?
Hostile takeover.
It was a very friendly takeover with hugs.
They came in with broadswords and battle axes?
Made of foam and hugs. So they bought us, and so basically we're going to run like an independent company. We have complete editorial autonomy over all of our different areas. And then we, in turn, are going to I'm running digital for them.
Wow.
So, it was a really cool thing that happened. It's a company that I really like.
So now you're stinking rich on top of being the King of Comic-Con.
I can't comment on that.
But yes.
How much money do you have
on you right now? A couple hundred grand?
I just walk around with a... Now I have a guy with a briefcase and it's handcuffed to his arm.
Who knows? You might need a candy bar money. Or something. You know. Yeah. Keep up the energy.
You have change for $100,000.
Let's talk about some of these movies that you're doing the panel for. You're in the Disney panel, which has some great stuff this year. First of all, Frankenweenie. Haven't I seen Frankenweenie 25 years ago? What's the deal? What's going on here? Is it back?
No, well, Frankenweenie was basically something that Tim Burton was working on when he worked at Disney ages ago, just like this pet project, and then now he got to make it, and I saw footage of it, and it looks fantastic, and Oz the Great and Powerful, Sam Raimi's movie, the footage from that looks great, and then Wreck-It Ralph, which I'm super excited about. So, yeah, the Disney panels are...
That was Ralph's nickname in college, Wreck-It Ralph.
Ralph said that was his...
My celebrity sex tape. That's right. Wreck-It Ralph. It's available on Vivid Films. You can pick that up now.
That was when Ralph and Ray J made a tape. It was called Wreck-It
Chris
Ralph.
Is also doing his podcast live from here tomorrow night, right?
Friday night. Yeah, we're doing the Nerdist Podcast Balboa? Live at the Balboa Theater. Yeah, our guest is going to be John Barrowman, who was on Torchwood.
Kevin, you know him. Captain Jack Harkness from Torchwood.
Oh, absolutely.
Torchwood.
I like him. Yeah, that's a good show.
John Barrowman, great actor, super talented guy.
Such a nice guy, too. Super funny. So it's going to be a fun show.
Will he be singing and dancing?
I hope so.
No, he likes
so.
To sing and dance.
I hope so. I would love to see a Jackman Barrowman duet. A Hugh Jack. We're not going to get Hugh Jackman, but
okay.
I'm hoping that if we build it, he will come.
Why don't you just play that role, and then he can do a duet.
In my backyard, I'm going to build a stage
and
set up some microphones.
James Earl Jones will come by.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
So, Chris, you're doing your podcast Friday night, and then Ralph, you and Kevin Smith are doing yours on Saturday night, like usual, right?
Yes, we're doing it at midnight.
at the House of Blues. So
I'm not kidding. Venue,
you're not even going to be
it's a great venue. It's a great venue, but it is midnight at the House of Blues. So
you're not conscious at that hour.
That's right.
Usually I'm not. But if you happen to be on the tail end of your buzz and you're loaded in a bar nearby, come wandering into the House of Blues and we'll do some comedy for you. It'll be a great, great, drunken, stupid crowd.
Chris, let me ask you about a couple of other films that are getting a lot of buzz this year in San Diego. First of all, they're going to be screening Hobbit footage, right?
Yes, that's I'm moderating that panel. That's the,
oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen much of this yet?
I have not seen any of the footage from it yet, so I will be watching stuff along with everyone else.
What's the deal with this controversy over this new format that it has been shot in? Apparently it's more frames
the
per second.
Frames
it's
supposed, per second?
To,
yeah.
supposed to look like high def or something, or what?
Yeah, I don't know what the controversy is because I haven't seen it, but I had been reading that audiences at CinemaCon were split on the 60 frames per second, so I don't know. It sounds like a great idea. More is always better. Am I right?
Yes.
I don't know.
How big
a difference
could it be?
What is it normally like 30 or something, and now they're doing it 61? What's the difference?
Normal film,
24?
A classic film was 24 frames per second.
Okay.
And then the television was 30 frames per second.
Okay.
And then this is
61. It'll blow your mind.
31 frames per second. No, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine it would provide for a more enriching visual experience.
But it's Hobbit vision.
Everything's shot from a very low angle.
That's how Hobbits see.
It's crotch angle for most
people.
It's
a lot
of
knees.
They just strap some cameras to some puppies. There are puppy cams. It's puppies sniffing puppies. Yeah. And we're not talking about The Hobbit anymore. This is just an idea that I had. No.
All right.
I'm sorry. This is just a really cool idea that
we're
I want
changed.
To get done.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are they doing for Man of Steel? What's going on there? Are you going to be interviewing the new Superman?
I don't know. I mean, I know Zack Snyder's going to be there.
Henry Cavill be there?
I'm not sure of yet. So
you can't have a Man of Steel panel without the Man of Steel.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Amy Adams, who plays Lois Lane, will she be there?
I'm not sure about
anything. How do you not know anything about your own panels?
Maybe I know, but I can't say anything, Ralph Garman.
I see. Are you in fact doing that panel?
I am, in fact, moderating that panel.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I am, in fact,
just double checking because it doesn't sound.
I'm not sure yet I'll be there.
Okay.
No, but I will be at
that. But you are scheduled.
I will be there. Yeah, right. I'll definitely be there. Yeah.
And Pacific Rim. What's Pacific Rim? You're also hosting that.
Is that
some sort of gay sex thing?
It's the sequel to Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralpher. So Pacific Rim is just is Guillermo del Toro's like massive monster robot movie. So
right.
And then the Doctor Who panel on Sunday, which I'm excited about moderating as well.
Damn, wow. Boy, you're busy.
It's gonna be fun.
Wow, that sounds just like crazy. Like both of you are gonna have the weirdest weekends and not get a second's rest. Ralph, are you gonna work on Monday?
Not on your show.
Good point.
Yes.
Forgot about that. I was just talking about how tired you were going to be. But all right.
That's why God invented cocaine.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Chris Hardwick has a million places to be, but we appreciate very much you swinging by to say hello to us here you do.
Thank you.
At Comic-Con. The book, by the way, is great, called The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next
thanks,
Level.
Man. Thank
which
you.
I actually, as you recall, bought with my own money and read and enjoyed. You can also get the podcast through thenerdist.com and follow Chris on Twitter @Nerdist. Have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you
thanks,
soon.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Danielle Gurdon from Whittier, latest K-Rock winner of tickets to the Epicenter coming up September 22nd at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Now she's qualified for the grand prize drawing we do tomorrow in this hour. To, I don't know, maybe send Danielle or whoever wins tickets to go see Stone Temple Pilots or Bush or Deftones or whoever we want all over the United States. How about that? Details at KRock.com. Your chance to win is coming up. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm in San Diego at Comic-Con. Suck it!
Ralph is like
what's
a pig
on?
In slop today.
Oh, it's the best place in the world to be. The best time of year. I am in the San Diego Comic-Con, as being mentioned, at the Hard Rock Hotel. Here in the Watchtower Suite. How cool is it called? It's called the Watchtower.
The Watchtower.
Which is also, of course, the name for the Justice League of America's headquarters.
You don't have to tell us.
I know.
Is Happy happening down there, Ralph?
Happy. It does Happy in San Diego, yes. Okay, thanks to Movies on Demand for letting us share their suite here. Speaking of Comic-Con, I have passes to give away to a very special K-Rock advance screening of a little movie called The Dark Knight Rises.
Yay! Come on!
It's in theaters everywhere on July the 20th. You, my friends, will get to see it before anybody else if you're one of the first three
callers at 1-800-520-1067 that answers my trivia question. It is, of course, Batman-related. Batman, of course, the greatest superhero of all time. His sidekick, Robin, greatest sidekick of all time.
Please.
I don't have to tell you guys that in the late 1980s, 1988, 89, there was a tragic moment when Robin was killed by the Joker.
Hang on, let me turn up the music. Okay, go ahead.
Now, it wasn't the Robin we know and love. It wasn't Dick Grayson. It was Jason Todd, of course, the second Robin who was murdered by the Joker.
Obviously.
However, you'll notice that the Jason Todd returned to face Batman as a villain. I just need the name of the villain. 1-800-520-1067. What character did Jason Todd return as? We all thought he was dead. He came back as whom? Answer the trivia question. Boom. You're going to see The Dark Knight Rises.
Can't wait.
Okay, it's got to be the Mexicans, right?
What?
No,
what does that even mean?
What? Dean, what did that mean?
Don't worry about it.
All right, let's get to show this.
That was just a guess. It was somebody guessing the answer to the trivia question.
That's okay, the worst thing ever.
That was a swing and a miss. All right.
You're the worst. You're not the best. You're the worst.
The worst. Okay.
Let's get to showbiz news. Last night, interesting interview with Piers Morgan on CNN. Robert Blake on television for the first time really since his acquittal of murdering his wife all those years ago. He has apparently written a memoir that covers his entirety of his life, his days as a child actor with Little Rascals, his success in movies and then on television with Beretta.
Now, he's crazy, right?
He is crazy, okay. And apparently he's destitute. This book, I'm sure, is a way to try to make some money for him. Last I heard, he was working as a stable hand at one of his friend's stables. A guy owns some horse land and had some stables, and he was working as a stable hand, cleaning out stables and stuff.
Wow.
He's flat broke. So anyway, he was on Piers Morgan last night. As I mentioned, first major television interview since the acquittal. And Piers Morgan was talking to him about that night in question and what happened with his wife, who was shot to death, you remember, in that truck outside that Italian restaurant in Studio City, California. And Piers Morgan made the mistake of mentioning to Robert Blake that he had a hard time buying his version of events.
I want to get to the truth if I can.
If you can, be careful.
Was Bonnie?
I want you to be careful because sometimes that guy in the ear tends to insult me a little bit. You want to get to the truth if you can. Does that mean I'm lying to you?
I don't know. Are you?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, tell me where I'm lying. Because if you don't know I'm telling you the truth, then you must have a little scratch in the back of your head about where I'm lying. Tell me where I'm lying.
I'm not saying you're lying.
But you say you don't know if I'm telling the truth. What the hell is the difference?
I'm saying I've met you for, what, 20 minutes?
I don't care about that. You put me on the stand. I'm telling the truth, and you say you're scratching the head.
Why are you being so defensive?
Because you just insulted me.
I didn't insult you.
Yes, you did. Nobody tells me I'm a liar.
I didn't call you a liar.
You said I might not be telling the truth. What the hell is the difference?
I said I'm going
to
ask you.
I don't want to take this any place special. We're supposed to be talking about what's in the book. That was my deal. You can talk about anything that's in the book.
Right.
Now you want me to talk about Bonnie. Bonnie's not in the book. I chose to allow you to go there, and you should deeply, deeply respect that.
Okay.
Now, let the guy in your ear talk to you.
There's no one talking in my ear.
Okay.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
Awesome.
He did it.
Yeah.
Minutes later, Robert Blake murdered Piers Morgan.
So Robert Blake has written a book and doesn't write about his wife who got murdered in a restaurant?
He doesn't talk about those events, apparently. Talks about the marriage, the wife, but does not talk about those events.
I would think that would sell some books if he would open up about that a little bit.
Apparently he does not want to talk about that because it brings up bad memories of a gun going off in his hand.
Allegedly.
That he doesn't want to deal with. Allegedly.
Let me play this short piece of tape of when Robert Blake was on Piers Morgan's predecessor's show, Larry King. Remember this little exchange that they had, Ralph?
You really want to go there?
Who do you think?
Who do you think?
How do I know?
How do I know?
Because you know people that she knew. I don't know people that she knew.
I don't know.
Oh, that's the best.
Because you knew what he knew, but I don't know. I don't know. You know? I don't know. Who do you think knows? I don't know. What do you know?
He's a great interview.
He's the best. Oh, I just want to hang out with him. I want to hang out with Robert Blake.
He might hurt you, though.
Isn't he the guy, please correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but isn't he the guy who showed up at a Kevin and Bean singles party a few years ago? Just showed up at our event and started dancing out on the dance floor with our listeners?
Yes.
Remember? Robert Blake?
And that was one of the weirdest things that ever happened. We were talking like, what the F is going on?
I had an acting class once where he stepped in as a guest teacher.
What's happening?
Everyone has a Robert Blake story.
No one invited him anywhere and he just shows up?
No, he was invited. Oh, he was invited as a special expert guest teacher.
Wow.
I was taking a class and he was friends with the woman who was teaching it. So he came in and taught the class and made a girl cry in class.
Really?
It was awesome. That's
wow.
Yeah. And speaking of making women cry, John Travolta and his wife are putting on a show these days on the red carpet of Savages, the new John Travolta movie. There is a display of public affection like you've never seen before. In Touch Magazine has the pictures, and they are just, I think he impregnated her on the red carpet.
I was thinking about this more as you did the story a couple hours ago, and you could be as in love with somebody as you want, and you take care of that at home or in the car or whatever. When you get on the red carpet is not the time to do that.
You have something to prove.
You really are putting on a show.
Yeah.
Unless people say you're trying to
get
massages in your special place.
I sure love this woman. Everyone.
And more Scientology actor news. Katie Holmes, the soon-to-be ex-wife of Tom Cruise, has a new best friend, according to Us Weekly magazine. She's been seen hanging out with Nicole Kidman.
Ew.
Yes, the two former Mrs. Cruises are getting together, comparing notes.
Ew.
And that can't be good.
You never want exes to know each other, ever.
And
I
want
to think of
wouldn't you like
everything
to just,
they have to talk about.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to be at the table
yes.
next to theirs when they're having lunch, though?
Yes, I
And
would.
When he did that, he did that with me, too. I can't believe he made me dress up as a volcano.
Did he jump on a couch at an Oprah for you? And she's like, no.
If I'm Mimi Rogers, by the way, I'm wondering where the hell my invitation is to the Ex-Wives Club.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bill Cosby, 75 years old today. Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac turns 69. Oh, we haven't answered my trivia question?
We do. We have Jane.
Jane?
Yes.
Hi, Jane. A woman who likes comic books. What character did Jason Todd return to the annals of Batman as?
The Red Hood.
The Red Hood is absolutely correct.
The Red Hood.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you are going to see The Dark Knight Rises before anybody else at our special K-Rock Advanced screening.
Thank you.
Elon and Anthony.
Finish up the birthdays right now. Yep. Cheryl Ladd is 61 years old today. Richard Simmons is 64. Topher Grace turns 34. And Anna Friel from Pushing Daisies is 36. And the lovely Michelle Rodriguez from Lost and from the new movie Resident Evil Retribution. She is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Comic-Con 2012 happening in San Diego right now. Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting live tomorrow from the Movies on Demand Lounge in the Hard Rock Hotel. By the way, some of our guests tomorrow, Kevin, include your friend Robert Kirkman, who's going to be joining
Fantastic.
Us. Creator of The Walking Dead is going to be with us.
Plus,
also,
we have Candace Bailey on tomorrow's show in the studio. I'm very excited about that.
I believe she's next hour today.
Because I love her. What?
I think she's next hour today. She's just going to be with Ralph Garman. I'm sorry.
What?
We're going to miss out on her in person. But we do have Seth Green tomorrow and the beautiful Rob Corddry, among other guests tomorrow.
Hot.
From San Diego. Speaking of Comic-Con, Grimm is making a big appearance down in San Diego this year. They are going to be having a panel. They're going to have an autograph session. The whole deal, of course, season one DVD comes out on August the 7th. Season two debuts on NBC on Monday night, August the 13th at 10. We have Silas Weir Mitchell from the TV show Grimm joining us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Silas, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Silas plays Monroe on the show, and I was thinking last night how I was going to describe the show, and it occurred to me that I can't describe easy things, let alone this TV show. This TV show I love, and I can't figure out a way. I'm going to play a clip, and then Silas, maybe you can help us figure out exactly what's going on with the show, okay?
I'll give it a shot.
Because I don't have much talent in this area. Here's the clip. Of the main character, Nick, who is telling his wife what's going on.
What kind of ability are we talking about?
See these books? They're filled with drawings made by my ancestors and some other people who had the same ability. And the drawings are of Vessen, which is how they like to refer to themselves.
Who, the Grimms?
No, the Vessen. The point is, I can see these Vessen, what you would see as a perfectly normal person, when they go through something called the Vogue, which is kind of like this emotional surge. That's when I can see them. I know how this must sound, but I swear to God, it's all true.
It does sound crazy. Now, they're Vessin, and he can see them, but most people can't, and it comes from the Grimm. Help me.
All right. The basic idea, you know, underlying this, the show is that the Grimm fairy tales were about real events that the original Grimm brothers turned into fairy tales so that people wouldn't think they were bananas.
Right. And what kind of monsters, for lack of a better word, are they living amongst us? Because they're none of the normal ones that we think of.
No, I mean, think of it like the way that when I first kind of integrated into the world of Grimm, I would think of it in terms of, like, you know, a serial killer, like Charles Manson, is a monster. But when you and I look at him, we just see, like, a creepy-looking dude. But if a Grimm looked at him when he was, like, agitated or nervous, he sort of loses control of his human mask, and you see, you know, the Blutbad.
All right, the Blutbad. Now, let's get into that. What are some of the names of the monsters? You're a Blutbad?
Yeah, I'm a Blutbad, which, you know.
But you're a reformed. Hold on. You're a reformed Blutbad.
Yeah. See, oh. I'm a different kind of Blutbad.
Okay.
Now, is it called the Blutbad just because the Grimm fairy tales were in German and that's the origin of that? Is that all it is, a German word, right?
Yeah. In German, it would mean bloodbath. But it's sort of like the writers having fun with the German language, making up names of creatures.
Okay, gotcha. What are some of the other creatures that they come across in the show?
Well, there's a Lausenschlange.
Sure.
Which is...
sure, the Lausenschlange.
Right. There's a Fuchsbau, which is a fox type of creature.
Hey, watch your language on the show here, Silas. Come on.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
Because Fuchs means fox in German.
Right.
So and it's kind of like, it's cool because there are people in the world who are like, you know, they don't want to get into any arguments and they're like a mouse person, you know, but there are types of people in the world, types of humans. And so you kind of translate that over into the animal world. It's like, yeah, that person's kind of are you a man or a mouse, you know?
What kinds of fans do you have for Grimm? I'm sure you've heard from many of them after the success of season one, but what kinds of crazy things do people talk to you guys about?
You know what it is? What's cool is that families watch this show together. I get a lot of, you know, families that have, you know, the mom and a 13 and a 14-year-old, you know, son and daughter, and they watch
and the Schlausenlugen.
Yeah.
And the Schlausenlugen's right there on the couch watching with them.
And the Farfignugen.
Right, and the Farfignugen, right. I like the Bat Out of Hell. That's my favorite, by the way. I didn't know that was a thing. A real, actual Bat Out of Hell is awesome.
Yeah, the Murcielago.
Sure.
Hey.
Exactly.
Yeah, that.
Is this your first experience with the Grimm cast down at Comic-Con, or were you guys there last year, Silas?
For some reason, we went there last year before we had even aired one episode. I don't understand what the motivation behind that was, except I guess the guy who created the show, really great guy, David Greenwalt, was instrumental on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So there was kind of an audience there, but no, we went last year, and I think it's going to be kind of a more, you know, crazy this year because we've actually, people know what we are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sort of. People know.
Saturday, you can meet the cast.
I don't even know what we are.
As
but
much
I guess
as you can, right.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
can meet the cast of Grimm on Saturday if you're lucky enough to be at Comic-Con in San Diego this year. They're going to be at Nerd Headquarters, and you're going to be there Saturday at 11 signing autographs. And then there's a panel, a Grimm panel is going to be in Room 6A in the Convention Center where you're going to be interviewed and taking questions from the fans and the whole deal. Season 1 DVD comes out on August the 7th, and then Season 2 debuts on August 13th at 10 on NBC. And the Grimm brothers, before we let you go here, Silas, incredibly prolific. Didn't they write hundreds of stories? I mean, you've got as many of these crazy monsters as you want for season 2 and 3, right?
Yeah, they wrote about 250 tales, so there's a lot of information, you know, there's a lot of stories.
It's going to be funny when the writers come to you after two more episodes and go, we're out.
Exactly. Sorry, guys, we're done.
Silas, thanks a lot for coming on the show. We totally appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys. No problem.
Thank you.
So, dinosaurs are still alive today, right? They live among us. That's happening. That's real, right?
The Loch Ness Monster proves that. Yes, that is true. That is a scientific fact.
There is a story in the news that is getting a little bit of a controversy. It is a private Christian school in Louisiana. Lisa, you're going to love this so much.
Okay.
They've got a biology book that says, and of course, they're very much into the creationism at some of the religious schools. Some, you know, some teach both, some just teach one. This school is very much into the creationism, very much into God put everything on Earth here. They're saying since the Loch Ness Monster exists and the Loch Ness Monster is a dinosaur, then there's all sorts of holes in the scientific argument for evolution.
And everybody else is going, hey, when was the Loch Ness Monster? When was that?
I've seen a fuzzy picture or two.
Bean and I were on the lake, the Loch Ness Lake, with a pistol, if I recall correctly, Bean.
Yes, yes, we were. We were ready to take care of it.
Somebody let you have a gun?
Yeah, we were shooting into the Loch
Ness. Oh, my God.
Trying to get the Loch Ness Monster. We could find no proof, but apparently this school has put it in their book, in their science book, as fact.
Do you know how effed up these kids are going to be when they come out into the real world?
Here's what they say. And by the way, this is what I love about Kevin and Bean. There may be only one dinosaur left on Earth. So what do we want to do? Kill it. the book says the Loch Ness Monster has been recorded on sonar from a small submarine, described by eyewitnesses and photographed by others. Nessie appears to be a plesiosaur. So if dinosaurs exist, then science doesn't know anything there is to know about evolution, and creationism wins. That's basically what they're saying. So we wanted to find out more about this because this seems, look, in 2012, this seems a little unorthodox, to say the least.
Believe either way. You could believe in whatever you want, like Bean was saying before, but don't change the textbooks of science.
Right. Science and faith are two different things. Darren McClellan is a spokesperson. Mr. McClellan, are you the principal at this Christian school in Kentucky? Is that where you are?
That's right, sir. I am. I am the principal of the Eternity Christian Academy here in Westlake, Louisiana.
Now, Louisiana, yes. Thank you.
Do we have this correct that this has been put in the science book as fact?
That's right. The textbook that we use, which is from Accelerated Christian Education, which is the company that produces our textbooks, that is the Biology 101 textbook we use here at Eternity Christian Academy.
Okay, but you understand, sir. And I understand you have an agenda because you're teaching the Word of God, but there's no scientific proof that the Loch Ness Monster exists, right? You know that it's not been proven that it is real and alive, right?
Well, how do you explain the sonar from the small submarines and the eyewitnesses and photographs of such plesiosaur that has been documented?
They're all shaky as hell. Every piece of information is shaky as hell. There's never been scientific proof, is what we're saying.
Well, I would beg to differ, sir, and okay. We have proof that the man and dinosaur coexist today, so that means that they also coexisted 6,000 years ago when the Earth was created.
Okay. The Earth is million. Never mind. Look, there's Bigfoot photos. There's alien photos. They're all suspect. None of it has been proven to be real. But what I mean is, do you want to intentionally teach children incorrect information? Is that what you consider an education, sir?
No, we are teaching the truth and facts about the power of not only God but of man and God's influence through him. It's like when Dr. Frankenstein brought that dead body back to life. That was God working through him.
That is
proof that God can bring people back to life.
That
like
was
Lazarus
fiction. That never happened.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein right. never happened. That was fiction.
That's not true. I've seen Frankenstein. I saw him at Universal Studios when I was out there. Right. And he walked right past me.
That's a dude
and
in a
so
suit.
I personally have an eyewitness to the fact that Frankenstein is around. Okay?
Now, you're not putting that in your textbook, though.
Absolutely. That is proof that reanimation of tissue is absolutely scientifically proven.
And, oh, dear God.
What do you mean,
and? Also, that parts of the human body can be changed into money, because the Tooth Fairy once left for me 50 cents for one of my incisors, and it proves that the human body can be translated exactly into currency.
The Tooth Fairy.
That's also in the book.
I don't in your know what that has to do with religion.
The Tooth Fairy is in your science book?
Yes, absolutely, because I have personally witnessed that. And I'll tell you something. As soon as I find a pot of gold from that leprechaun, I'm going to change all the textbooks, and they're all going to be filled with the right facts, not what you would have us believe in your so-called liberal education.
I see.
So your facts are better than our facts, is basically what you're saying.
Well, no, because facts are stubborn things, sir, and the truth is that the truth is. That's the truth.
What does that mean?
The truth is what it is, and you cannot defute or refute the truth, and that is what Santa Claus told me.
Okay, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
You going to be okay, Ralph? You need a minute?
No, it's very exciting. That's all. I'm in the same city as him.
Comic-Con 2012 happening in San Diego. Rob is broadcasting right now at the Hard Rock Hotel from the Movies on Demand.
I want to go to the Hard Rock.
No, Hard Rock.
Oh, okay. We're going to be there tomorrow.
One of the most anticipated events of the Comic-Con this year is the 10th anniversary celebration of a little TV show called Firefly. And the star of the show, Nathan Fillion, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Nathan, how are you, man?
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Ralph, and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure. Hello, we understand you just got back or just got into town. What have you been doing? You've been traveling or what's up?
I do a bucket list trip with my brother every summer. Our vacations line up for 2 weeks every summer.
That's nice. Where'd you go?
Belize.
Wow.
Mm. We did a scuba trip in Belize.
Wow. Awesome. Tell us about this reunion and how it came together.
You know, the Firefly. God bless people. I've never done anything that has legs like Firefly, and people just will not let that thing die, and I'm only too happy about that.
How many episodes were there, total?
I think there was 13, and one of them was like a two-hour episode, so it could be argued that there's 14.
Right. And it got canceled, and yet everyone...
Whoa, 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 what? What happened? What?
And you quit.
It did get canceled, and you moved on, and you've done lots of other things, up to a huge hit on TV now, Castle, but you probably still have more people coming up down the street talking brown coats than anything, right?
I tell you, there's nothing more dedicated than a Firefly fan who calls themselves brown coats, and what do you do? I love it.
It is bizarre. And then Serenity, was that the name of the movie?
Serenity was the name of the movie, and this is
was
now,
also great.
It's all getting a lot of attention right now because it's now the 10-year anniversary. It's 10 years, and it just won't die.
Okay, so that brings up the obvious question that a day has not gone by that you haven't been asked, but if there's all this passion for the project, if people still are invested in and love these characters and these stories, why aren't you figuring out a way to make more of them?
Yeah. Listen, between you and me, all I need is $50 million.
Oh. You have to Kickstarter, man. Kickstarter.
I said that on Twitter. I said if I won there was a big lottery. The California lottery was what, like $30 million or something like that. And I said, I'm going to win the lottery and buy the rights to Firefly. Like, just like, you know, wish list. People on Twitter started getting together saying, everybody will send a dollar. I was like, oh no, do not, oh God, don't send me a dollar.
But I was just wondering, I mean, we joke and all, but is this like a deal like the Anchorman movie was, where everybody involved in the movie itself really wanted to make it, but it was just the studio wouldn't sign off on it? Is that what's happening here? Are there suits somewhere who for some reason don't want any more Fireflies, but everybody else is in?
You know, if I understood the inner workings of the entertainment industry, I'd be a far more intelligent man than I really am.
They don't come to you and ask you for all final decisions?
I'm never there for those calls.
Hmm.
All right. It does seem like another feature at least is in order. Don't you think, Nathan?
You know, I think a lot of things.
And no one's asking? And we're the only ones asking?
No, God, no. Listen, everyone asks. Everyone asks. Like, I go on Twitter. I love the Twitter. And everyone says, is there going to be more Firefly? Is there going to be another Serenity? And I'm just thinking, if there was going to be more Firefly or another Serenity, is Twitter where you'd find out? Like if you asked on Twitter and they come back, yeah, there is. You'll be in luck. Don't worry about it.
It's a pretty sure thing that the message will get out if that were to ever happen.
You know, it's just, to me, I just take it as a sign that it's that people are still putting it near and dear in their heart, and I'm all for that.
Firefly reunion panel is happening tomorrow afternoon, I want to say. Who all's involved? Joss is going to be there, right? You're going to be there? Tim Minear, the writer for the show?
Exactly. I'm going to be there. Tim, I believe Summer's going to be there. Adam Baldwin, Alan Tudyk.
Wow.
I think Sean Marr might be there. Marina Backlund can't make it. She's working on Homeland, and they won't let her go.
Oh, that's such a good show.
And this is going to be tomorrow at 12:30 at Comic-Con. And then, as I understand it, they are filming it, and they're filming a bunch of interviews with you guys, and they're going to turn this into a special on the Science Channel, right?
Yeah, we're doing like a roundtable discussion of some kind. They're going to televise, and we're going to do a nice little photo shoot of some kind, I'm sure. And then we're going to do a big old panel in front of a couple thousand people. Joss Whedon's very popular.
You're doing everything except for making more shows. You're going to film interviews. You're going to put it on the Science Channel. Come on now.
I'm calling everybody right now. I'm trying to say, hey, just bring your costume and we'll just make up an episode.
You know, Nathan, it's to your credit. A lot of people, when they have a successful series like you do with Castle, would rather leave maybe some of their previous work behind and only talk about the stuff that's going on now. So it's to your credit that you still service the fans who want to get together and talk about this show.
Listen, don't think I'm saintly or anything. This is the best job I've ever had. It's my most favorite role I've ever played. The best words that have come out of my mouth were on screen on Firefly. So if anybody wants to talk about it, I'll drop whatever I'm doing.
You're fine.
Talk about it.
And I remember when it was on, I remember how much, you know, we all loved that show at the time. And I was thinking for you as an actor, I mean, you get to grow up and basically be Han Solo. I mean, that's what you were doing, running around on that ship. I mean, it must be so much fun just as a dude to be able to play that character.
Everything I wanted to do on TV, I had a list, a wish list. Everything I wanted to do on TV, I did in my first episode of Firefly. I'm going to be 78 years old, sitting at a table with like 10 guys around me at some convention in the far future saying, and then there was the day telling the same stories over and over again.
And none of them are going to be about Castle because you don't like that show? Or
you know, I just... Listen, Castle's a very popular show.
I know, I'm just kidding.
It's been very good to me, and it's a nice job. It's an easy job.
And we love it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's boy, it's my life now. It's 10 months out of my year. It's a lot of work. But... But boy,
we're so excited we got a chance to talk to you. When we heard this news, I mean, like everybody, we were just like, wow, I can't believe they're doing this. This is so awesome. It's been 10 years already since Firefly. Again, it's going to be at 12:30. That's the Comic-Con panel for the reunion. And as I said, they're going to be filming it, and they're going to air that on the Science Channel on Sunday, November the 11th, after an all-day episode of Firefly Marathon, which is going to be on that same day as well. So, Nathan, have fun and have fun in San Diego, man. It's always great to catch up with you. We really appreciate the time, dude.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks.
By the way, here's a name we haven't heard in a while. Our old friend Serge Tankian from System of a Down is back. Got a new album just released yesterday. He is going to be in the building at the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space performing live for free at krock.com at noon today. If you want to check that out, Serge Tankian today at krock.com at noon.
Armenian Pride, huh? Glendale!
Glendale indeed. Ralph is here. Comic-Con 2012, live from San Diego. He's in the Movies on Demand Lounge, Hard Rock Hotel. What's going on, Ralph?
They started lining up a couple days ago for the Twilight panel for this weekend.
Yeah, that's not
surprising.
A couple days ago, they started lining up down here at San Diego Comic-Con 2012. Kellan Lutz is in the news. He, of course, one of the stars of the Twilight franchise. He plays a Dragon Boy?
Damn.
I believe it is a
Dragon Boy.
Yes.
Lisa, you're supposed to be our Twitar.
He's a vampire. He's a vampire.
Vampire, okay.
He is in apparently the upcoming issue of GQ Magazine holding one of his pets, a 4-foot alligator.
Oh, he's so creative and cool because he's
got
a
cooler
neat pet.
Pets than you. You have a dog, he has an alligator. He believes that the alligators are beautiful and they are true dinosaurs, he says.
Nope.
Which would be great, except for the fact that they're not. That's the only difference.
Factually, that's incorrect.
However, talk to that guy with the textbook down in Louisiana.
Yeah,
talk about the dinosaurs that are roaming around.
But aren't, and I hate to even get into this discussion, but don't some people say that birds are actually part of the dinosaur family, Ralph? You would know something about this.
Apparently, modern birds are the predecessors or the ancestors, I guess. Descendants of dinosaurs. Yes, that dinosaurs have more in common DNA-wise and physiology-wise with birds than any other animal.
And not to sidetrack things, but I have another question. Where do birds go when they die?
Yeah. How come you don't see them just laying around the ground? You see so many birds in the sky when they're dead. They should be littering. They should be littering the ground. Dead
and
birds.
How do hot chicks get from place to place is another question while we're on the subject.
And why are there no flies at night? Why do you only see flies flying around during the day?
They
where do the
sleep,
flies
Ralph.
Go at night?
See, these are all questions we have tackled from over the years on the Kevin and Bean Show with no answers.
Tom Hanks in the news. He celebrated his 56th birthday this week. He had a dinner with Martin Short and Steve Martin. That was his birthday dinner.
How awesome
would that dinner be?
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be the greatest meal you've ever had. He was in New York City having dinner with those two fellows celebrating his birthday when Governor George Pataki of New York State sent over a little gift for him. He sent him a Dr. Pepper and a box of chocolates. Because Forrest Gump said,
"Forrest Gump," a movie from
thing he said 20 years ago is still relevant.
he probably thought to himself, this is going to kill. This is going to be a story. Tom Hanks
over there. Look, I'm going to give a box of chocolate. This is great. Because no one's ever brought that up to Tom Hanks before.
They should have a recall election just because of that.
Just because of that gesture?
Yes. They should just toss his ass out. Folks over at Fox and Friends on the Fox News Network are cheesing off some people with the USA Olympic Committee. Team USA apparently has unveiled their new outfits that they will be wearing for the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in London. Ralph Lauren created the outfits, and the hosts Gretchen Carlson and Steve Doocy were complaining because Team USA will be wearing berets into the venue, and they believe it's too French. It's not American. Gretchen says, is this the new American trend now? We're going to see berets, and you have to pronounce it that way, too, because that's the French way. Yeah, you know why also you have to pronounce it that way? Because that's the way it's pronounced.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I know you'd like to call it berets, but unfortunately we have to try to speak correctly from time to time.
Stop in America!
Steve Doocy said, it's not an American enough to wear a beret. Why not a baseball cap? Why not a cowboy hat, he asked.
Oh, there's a great idea for the Olympics.
We all go around in cowboy hats.
Oh, that'd be so great if our Olympic team walked in cowboy hats.
They and chaps, and Ashworth chaps, shooting off six guns. That's how they should enter, with real bullets, killing people. We should go in killing people, drilling for oil in London, wearing cowboy hats.
USA! 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 USA!
Oh, yeah.
Someone pointed out the green berets, the U.S. Fighting men wear berets, and that they're American. And,
yeah, but they can wear them.
Yeah, but these are Olympic athletes.
They can wear them, too.
I'm not sure a swimmer can pull it off, but a Marine can pull it off. Or a green beret, I'm sorry, can pull it off.
Yeah, well.
Got to be pretty manly is what I'm saying.
Not according to the team over at Fox and Friends.
Isn't there enough to complain about without worrying about what hats the U.S. Olympic team is wearing?
I want to know what kind of underwear they're wearing. Is it boxers or briefs?
Oh, yeah.
And while we're talking about television news channels, CNN, of course, has the Piers Morgan show on. Last night, Piers scored a big interview get. Robert Blake, remember that name? Actor who was accused of killing his wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley. Outside a restaurant in Studio City, California. She was shot to death. He went to trial, and he was acquitted of that crime.
My understanding of that whole trial, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that most popular opinion was, oh, God, he did it, but they couldn't prove it?
The prosecution fell down on their job, apparently. Okay. That was what most people thought. Blake left the public limelight after that. Hasn't really been seen until last night. This is his first big television appearance. He did an interview with Piers Morgan talking about his new memoir, which apparently he doesn't talk about his wife's death in the book, but Piers being, you know, a journalist and having a big TV show, had to ask about it, and Robert Blake did not care for that.
I want to get to the truth if I can.
If you can, be careful.
Was Bonnie
I want you to be careful, because sometimes that guy in the ear tends to insult me a little bit. You want to get to the truth if you can. Does that mean I'm lying to you?
I don't know. Are you?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, tell me where I'm lying. Because if you don't know I'm telling you the truth, then you must have a little scratch in the back of your head about where I'm lying. Tell me where I'm lying.
I'm not saying a lie.
But you say you don't know if I'm telling the truth. What the hell is the difference?
I'm saying I've met you for, what, 20 minutes?
I don't care about that. You put me on the stand. I'm telling the truth, and you say you're scratching the head.
Why are you being so defensive?
Because you just insulted me.
I didn't insult you.
Yes, you did. Nobody tells me I'm a liar.
I didn't call you a liar.
You said I might not be telling the truth. What the hell is the difference?
I said I'm going to ask you.
I don't want to take this any place special. We're supposed to be talking about what's in the book. That was my deal. You can talk about anything that's in the book.
Right.
Now you want me to talk about Bonnie. Bonnie's not in the book. I chose to allow you to go there, and you should deeply, deeply respect that.
Okay.
Now, let the guy in your ear talk to you.
There's no one talking in my ear.
Okay.
I think there's somebody talking in Robert's ear.
Yeah, no kidding. Does he think like a producer or somebody is giving him questions? Is that
what that's what he thinks. Oh, he thinks there's people in the control room who are trying to stoke the flames, I guess.
So challenge him is the way to go with Robert Blake.
Man,
I love that.
That sounds like every conversation I ever had that led to a bar fight in my life when I was a bartender. I would immediately sort of back away and grab a bottle whenever I heard that conversation we had, because I knew eventually someone was getting stitches.
So he just doesn't want to go everywhere and have people talk to him about, hey, I think you lied and you actually did kill your wife. That's basically what he's trying to avoid. His deal is, look, I was acquitted. I'm living my life. I'm talking about something else. Deal with it.
Yeah, I think that's why he left the public limelight, because I don't think he wanted to face that question. And now, in order to sell books, he's going to have to. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Cosby, 75 years old today. Cheryl
Lash. Is he on Netflix or Hulu? Do you know, Ralph?
On the Hulu. Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac is 69 years old. Richard Simmons, the fitness guru and friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Linda. He is 64 years old. Cheryl Ladd is 61. Anna Friel of Pushing Daisies turns 36. Topher Grace from That 70s Show is 34. And Michelle Rodriguez from Lost and the brand new movie Resident Evil Retribution, she's 34 years old. And I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm very excited to be going down to Comic-Con tomorrow because we have Candace Bailey in studio.
Kevin, she's here with me this morning right now. She won't be here so much when you're here. She's here with me now here.
I'm here now.
Yes, she is.
Candace walked in and she said, where's Kevin? I got to rip me off a piece of that. Where is he?
And then I got to rip me off a piece of that.
Yeah. She said words that no one's ever said before for some reason.
I would like to withdraw the comment, please.
I bet you would.
Oh, Candace, no, I love it.
No can
I
do.
Of course, we know and love from Attack of the Show on G4, which is an imaginary channel that used to be on DirecTV. Now, Candace, I only watch you on the internet and iTunes, so you're my internet girlfriend now instead of my TV girlfriend.
You can watch me on Twitter. We tweet out stuff a lot.
That's true.
Okay.
I follow you. That's true.
Nice. Oh, and you have a, as with many people, you have an enormously exciting weekend planned. Welcome to San Diego.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. I have a really fun weekend planned. Today, I'm running the zombie obstacle course for The Walking Dead, which I have been so excited about. I've had butterflies in my stomach.
That's at the baseball field down there, right?
Yeah,
it's at Petco Park. If anyone's coming down for the con, you have to try out Walking Dead Escape, which is you literally trying to get away from zombies.
I'm doing that as well tonight, and I believe I'm going to take some zombies down with me.
Yeah, are you?
I'm going to kill.
You're tough.
I'm going to kill zombies.
That's
the point of it, right?
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Zombies won't eat their own, Kevin, so you're okay.
Are we actually supposed to take down the zombies, or are we just supposed to run away from
them? I'm not taking any chances. I don't know about you.
Kevin's bringing a crossbow.
That's
I don't know. It seems weird. How many people did they hire to play zombies, I wonder, at that park this afternoon?
And do you think
is it hundreds of zombies or is it two guys? I mean, what are you going? What's going on?
No,
here?
It's got to be a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be scary.
We should probably have this conversation after we do it tonight.
No, let's just speculate.
We had Robert Kirkman on the show the other day, and he said that basically, like, they touch you with this. If they touch you with this weird invisible paint, then when you go under these black lights afterwards, it'll show if you've been infected with the virus.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's not like tag football where they pull something off or where they actually hurt you. It's just an invisible paint. So I'm okay with that.
Invisible paint is what they're calling it now.
If you're infected with
paint. You're doing the escape, and then what is the situation for Attack of the Show? You guys are broadcasting from the floor of the con, right?
Yes. X-Play is as well. X-Play has a live show today at 7 p.m. Eastern. We have a live show tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then Saturday, we have our panel in the morning, and then we have a four-hour live show starting at 4 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, I think I got all that right.
So you're going to be a little busy?
Just a little,
What's the focus for you? I know you were talking the most about this Walking Dead course.
I'm so excited about and Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Oh,
what are they doing this year?
I've recently become obsessed with this show.
Let me just butt in for 1 second, and then I'll let you talk because, you know, I'm Kanye. Breaking Bad, one of the best shows of all time comes back on Sunday. Okay, I just had to say that. So go ahead. You just got into it.
I did add a lot to the conversation, Kevin. Thank you.
I'm glad we stopped.
Yeah, well, I had heard so many people talking great things about it. And so, like, 3 weeks ago, I started getting into it, and I'm caught up.
You watched all four seasons already.
Oh, my God. I watched two seasons in one weekend. I was like, I need more.
You'd have to be on meth to do that.
I know. pretty much. Or just have no life. So I'm really, really excited about whatever happens. The unfortunate thing for me is I don't really have a lot of time to go to the panels. So I just have to live vicariously through other people.
Because you have to work and then you have to talk to people who were there.
Yes.
Which is exciting. your live shows from the floor, you're going to have cast members from The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Fringe, True Blood, Children's Hospital, Doctor Who, The Big Bang Theory, The Arrow, and more and more and more. I don't even know how you prepare for that much stuff. That's crazy, Candace.
We're crazy. What can I tell you? We cray cray. just do as much as you can. I think we watch a lot of these shows, and I was kind of caught up on some of the pilots. I watched Revolution and The Arrow and what's the Kevin Bacon one? The Following. Ah, oh, so good.
Flashdance? Oh.
Flashdance. The Following. Oh my God, there's such good pilots, all of them.
You saw Arrow, the new the Green Arrow series on CW. How was that?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I really liked it. Yeah, I'm going to be DVRing it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Me Candace too. Bailey's here. We need to take a break. She's in our San Diego studio. She's, of course, one of the hosts of Attack of the Show. And we will be right back on the world famous.
We don't agree on much, but we all agree that movies on demand on cable is the best way to rent the newest and hottest Hollywood movies instantly. Am I right, ladies?
Yes, you are.
Movies on demand.
There's only one
movies on demand. Lounge is where we are at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego for Comic-Con 2012. Ralph is down there now with our guest Candace Bailey from Attack of the Show. Let me ask both of you guys this, especially you, Candace. And that is, Comic-Con, sometimes they show you things that are going to be out in a month. But are they doing anything this year where they tease you up, they get you all frothy for something that's not coming out for a year? Is that happening again this year? Because that drives us crazy.
Oh, yeah, with the movies.
Yeah, it happens
like
a lot.
Like Iron Man 3 and...
They've got a panel. Yeah, Iron Man 3's got a panel this year. Last year, I was here for Total Recall.
What?
And, I'm here again for Total Recall. I'm doing two Total Recall panels in a row consecutively.
That should not be allowed.
I know, but they want to get the buzz out there early. And it worked for Total Recall in this particular case. I mean, people are excited about seeing the movie.
It does look amazing.
I can't wait for that.
That can't hurt, though, can it?
Well, it's just frustrating because you get excited.
Very frustrating.
You get excited, and then you go, okay, I'll wait for a year.
And it's coming out in 2015.
Right.
What?
I'll put it on my calendar.
Candace, you were talking a little bit during the song there about Revolution. You've already seen Revolution, which is another one of those shows that a lot of people are looking forward to because it's got J.J. Abrams behind it. Jon Favreau is a part of this.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
It's awesome. It's like post-apocalyptic. It's 15 years or something after everything goes down in the
world.
There's
no electric energy left anymore.
Not that kind of going down.
Doesn't go down.
Batteries don't work. Cars don't work. It's a fascinating world.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. And some things happen in the pilot that I'm not going to talk about. But it's really, really cool. It's definitely worth checking out.
Dexter returns this season in a couple of weeks.
I love
I'll be hosting
so
that panel down
when
here.
When does it return?
I should know this off the top of my head, but I think it's July 20. What's that? September 30th.
September 30th. I can't wait.
That's a
30th.
Ways away.
Now, do you know anything about that? Like last year you knew Colin Hanks was going to be the bad guy.
I know for a fact that Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck is going to be the guest star in the arc this season, which has to do, from what I understand, with the Russian mob and strippers and strip clubs. which is so much better than that religious crap they went through last season.
You know, Yvonne Strahovski came on our show and I did an interview with her, and at the end she had this family tradition where they eat some sort of white fish and then they take a shot of vodka. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. Meanwhile, I'm allergic to a lot of different fishes.
Oh, no. Are you really?
So I was like, okay. So I ate the fish. I took the shot of vodka. I don't drink vodka and I don't take shots and I don't eat fish.
Wow.
You didn't die.
I didn't die. I lived. I broke out in a little bit of hives. But
so now every day, that's how you start your morning. Fish, vodka.
So that's what I think of when I think of Yvonne Strahovski.
I'm going to use that during the Dexter panel. I'm going to bring fish and vodka with me.
You should. Yeah.
Pour her a shot.
She loves it, though.
Of course. Tell us about 666 Park Avenue. This looks good.
I don't know much about it. I have it on one of my keys.
I don't know what that means.
All the hotel keys have advertising on them this weekend.
That's all I know about it. I hadn't really heard about it.
Yeah. But we're talking to Terry O'Quinn tomorrow about it, I think.
Fantastic. It's spooky, and I think it's a...
Don't say it, Bean.
666, so it's got to be some sort of scary show.
Love
but
it.
But I don't know much about it.
That's the voice of Candace Bailey here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is down at Comic-Con sitting next to Ralph Garman. You are doing an Attack of the Show cast autograph signing, and that is going to be tomorrow from 11:30 till 1, Autograph Area 3. Tell me about your fans, Candace. What are they like?
They're like anybody else's fans here, I feel like.
But it seems to me, and don't take this the wrong way, but attractive women in the geek world are scarce. They're a rarity. And so the attractive women that travel in these
there
circles.
There are so many attractive women out here.
Oh, tend
stop
to
it.
Get
there are.
We've been attention there. Heaped upon them. Them, is all I'm saying. You must get a lot of maybe even unwanted attention from this group of fans.
You know, I did. I was here last year, and
yes,
a guy
was
like, hey, can I take a picture with you? And I was like, absolutely. And he takes a picture and puts his hand on my butt.
Really?
Like, clearly plants it on my butt and just rests it there. And
wait,
I was like,
we can do that?
Excuse me? No, you can't do that.
Oh, we can't
and
do
I
that.
Was like, excuse me? And he goes, what? I said, your hand is on my butt. And I moved it off. He goes, oh, sorry, I didn't even realize. Really?
Nice.
Really? Did you not realize?
There's no guy alive that wouldn't realize that. Oh, that was accidental. This is the way my hand goes. What was I supposed to do? I had no feeling in it.
Well, you have just given our listeners a lot of very good ideas for coming down and meeting you.
No hands on the butt, guys.
Candace likes her hand on her butt. That's what she's saying.
No.
So no hand on butt. All right.
What are your obligations for the show? Do you have assignments? Do you know what you're going to be covering for the next couple days? Anything? In particular?
On our show, on the actual panel?
Yeah, for Attack of the Show, for you guys. You've got that 4-hour show, I know, Saturday. I mean,
we're, I have a list in my room. We have
that's a good place for it. Good place for it.
Ralph, yes, go get it.
Not with me. We have Doctor Who.
Oh, wow.
We have True Blood, Community, Aisha Tyler. We have the Arrow. Is it the Arrow or Arrow?
Arrow.
It's okay, the Arrow.
Arrow.
Yeah. I have a list. You have Game of Thrones.
Whichever
you have Fringe.
Is. Yeah. Hey. Okay. So you have a list. You're making me sweat it over
no,
here.
No, I just found
the
list.
So you guys will be interviewing all the cast from all those shows?
Certain people
through?
From all of those shows.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of hard work.
Paul Scheer is coming back on. We just had him co-hosting a couple weeks back.
He's so funny.
He's so funny.
And you guys had Rob Delaney on, too, the episode that I did. You guys had Rob on, who's also very funny.
I love Rob.
He's the best.
We've had a bunch of really nice guys. This past week, we had Mark Maron.
Sure.
Chris Hardwick.
Sure.
Everybody knows Chris Hardwick.
Sure. He's the king, you're the queen.
Oh, he was here.
He's the king of Comic-Con, and you're the queen of Comic-Con.
Oh, I am?
But together, you shall rule.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's I'll take it.
All right. What time can we look for you on the TV before we say goodbye here, Candace?
Tomorrow night I will be live at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then Saturday we'll be live starting 4 p.m. Eastern for a 4-hour show.
Good times. All right, you can follow Candace on Twitter. If I have this right, it's at Candace Bailey 5. Is that right? Or at AOTS?
That's right, Candace Bailey 5.
Are there 5 of you? What's the deal with that? That sounds
cool.
You
know, what's annoying is there was a Candace Bailey when I signed up for Twitter, and she never tweets. She
bitch.
She tweeted like once in 2 years, and I was about to be able to get her name, but then she tweeted. And I was like, So
did she tweet, bitch can't have my name?
She's a squatter. She's a Twitter squatter.
She is.
And I bet she's ugly, too, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure she is.
No, I'm sure she's beautiful. But she's tweeted like 5 times ever.
She's not beautiful on the inside, I'll tell you that.
Giving me a hard time and all. So 5 is my lucky number, so I just went with Candace Bailey 5. I don't know if there are actually 4 other Candace Baileys.
All right. Good enough.
I'm sure there are.
Candace, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have fun.
Final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show. Time for Ralph Garman in San Diego. What's going on, Ralph?
I am in San Diego at Comic-Con.
Yes, you are.
You are not.
Correct.
I rule.
You do.
That's the news. Here's the weather. It is Comic-Con weekend. Oh, I'm just so excited. Also excited about the release of The Dark Knight Rises. The third and final film in the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy. It's in theaters everywhere, rather, July the 20th. You, however, my friends, can see it on the 18th, days before everyone else, if you'd like to. The first 2 callers at 1-800-520-1067 who can answer my trivia question regarding Batman will get a pair of tickets and be able to attend the special advance screening. Here's your trivia question. As we all know, Batman and Robin go together like Kevin and Bean. like peanut butter and jelly. And Robin, of course, was Dick Grayson until he grew up and he stopped being Robin. I guess he wanted to stop wearing those shorty shorts and those little pixie boots and was tired of having his bare naked legs running around in the cold Gotham City winters. He became a new superhero. He ditched the Robin identity and became a new superhero What superhero did Dick Grayson become? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you know the right answer, you can be going to Dark Knight Rises.
I'm the hero Gotham City deserves. I'm the villain. Robin, why are you kidding me?
Have you seen the video of 1960s Robin in with
yes.
the Christopher Nolan?
It's incredible. That is so well done.
It's pretty brilliant. And the guy looks just like Robin, and he does a great job. He's a little, you know, a little gayer than the real Robin.
Oh, please. It's not possible.
He is.
It is like, impossible to be
I
would have
been here sooner. I lost my slipper. It's like, come on.
That's exactly the same thing.
Not the same thing.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Kristen Chenoweth, the actress, was taken to the hospital yesterday. She was on the set of The Good Wife, a show she had just joined, when she was hit by a light that fell out of the set and knocked her unconscious.
Man, wow. That's crazy.
I don't think they want her on that show.
No kidding.
TMZ.com reports that a witness on set, first I thought she had been killed by the light. That's how hard it hit her.
Jeez.
Wow.
But it just knocked her out. They took her to the hospital, and apparently her injuries were fairly minor. So she really dodged a bullet there.
She was shot at also, in addition to the light falling on her?
Gilligan. Also on the show this season, new cast members, Amanda Peet will be joining the cast. And Nathan Lane also will be in the cast. No word if they've been murdered yet or not, but we'll have to wait and see.
I feel like a bad person that I don't watch that show because apparently it is one of the best shows on television.
You're missing out. It's an excellent show.
That's
really
what
is.
I hear.
Channing Tatum in the news. He apparently is working on another big screen movie. This one, the life story of Evel Knievel, legendary stuntman from the 70s that made headlines with all his crazy motorcycle jumps and also his rocket jump over the Snake River Canyon.
So I'm remembering it wrong when I remember that he never once made it.
He made it plenty of times.
Did he?
He had plenty of records with the most of the things most jumped on a motorcycle.
I guess maybe I just remember all of the wipeouts because they were shown over and over and over again.
Well, they were spectacular crashes.
And
he had all the records at one point for all the things that people would jump over in motorcycles. And not only that, but he sort of became a cottage industry. He had action figures with his name on it, posters and T-shirts and all kinds of merchandise. Evel Knievel.
Little kids of the right age, little boys, all wanted to be Evel Knievel. He was their hero because he was just a daredevil. He did crazy stuff. I mean, this was long before there were jackass guys in X Games Sports and things like that. I mean, this was a dude who was practically a superhero.
I wonder how many concussions he was responsible for, because I know the kids in my neighborhood would get a plank of plywood and put some cinder blocks under it and make a ramp and get on their bikes and just eat it. Just crash and do horrible things to themselves because they all wanted to be Evel Knievel.
I was actually thinking of myself when I said wiped out and never landed.
Yeah, exactly.
I was doing that stuff all the time.
More movie news. They are rebooting the Vacation franchise. You remember the Chevy Chase movies? It was Vacation and then Vegas Vacation, Christmas Vacation. This time it's going to be the son of Clark Griswold, Chevy Chase played in the films. Rusty Griswold will be taking his family on vacation. And originally, by the way, played by Anthony Michael Hall was the original Rusty. But Ed Helms of The Office and The Hangover is going to be taking over the franchise. And the guy who wrote Horrible Boss is apparently writing and directing the film. So
sounds good.
A chance. Eli Roth, while we're talking about movies, he is doing a film called Harker.
Nope.
Which is about... What?
He better not be doing another film that's not Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah, it's not Thanksgiving. I know. He keeps making movies that aren't Thanksgiving. He said he was going to make it, and then he's just making other stuff.
This holiday season, prepare the stuff scared out of you.
Harker's about a London detective's obsessive search for Dracula. No word on who's going to play the titular character of Harker, but don't. But Russell Crowe. They're talking to Russell Crowe to play Dracula.
Really?
Yeah, modern day Dracula. That could be cool, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Strange.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
Before you do that, we do have a winner.
Oh, that's right. We have my trivia. I forgot to ask.
We do. We have Sean.
Sean?
Yes, sir.
Dick Grayson. He grew up. He was no longer Robin. He became what superhero?
That would be Nightwing, sir.
Nightwing.
Yay!
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Dark Knight Rises before anybody else on the 18th.
That is the best birthday present ever. Thank you, Ralph.
You're very welcome.
Do not call Ralph sir either.
Who else won? Who else were you congratulating?
Oh, we also have David.
David. Well done, sir.
Ralph, didn't he become Red Hood and now he also became Nightwing? What's the deal with this Robin guy?
Oh, Bean, what's
How
wrong
is he
with
everybody
you?
All the time always?
Jason Todd was the second Robin. He became Red Hood. Dick Grayson was the first Robin. He became Nightwing.
Yeah, everyone knows that, Bean.
Everyone knows that.
Pay attention. Stupid.
Obviously.
I'm an idiot. I apologize.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These celebrities were born on July the 12th. Bill Cosby, 75 years old today.
I'm celebrating for every morning pop on the cake machine. You blow out the candles on the cake with the frozen pop.
No one knows what he said in 20 years. No one knows what Bill Cosby said. Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac is 69 years old today. Richard Simmons, the fitness guru, is 64. How come you're not playing any Richard Simmons audio for me today, Bean? You had no Richard Simmons for me?
I wonder at some point if anybody even knows who he is anymore. That usually doesn't stop me, but never stop.
Really.
Now I hear some ugliness in your voice.
Where was that state of mind when the Claude Aiken drops were being thrown around so liberally?
That's never stopped. Nice. Give me my pee by Linda. Give me that.
Well, you all have a wonderful morning, and I hope you listeners will get a sweat into the oldies three. Remember to take care of your health. It's the only thing you have. Bye, Pete. Bye, Linda.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. I got to be Pete, by the way, just for the record.
He's 64 years old. Cheryl Ladd, one of the original Charlie's Angels, is 61. Anna Friel from Pushing Daisies is 36. Topher Grace from That 70 Show, 34, as is Michelle Rodriguez, not only from Lost and Fast and the Furious, but also Resident Evil Retribution. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to join you down there in San Diego talking about Comic-Con.
Nope.
We're going to be there.
Stay out of my, backyard.
We belong there, Ralph.
You
if anyone belongs there, it's Bean and I. We have been longtime comic book fans and supporters of the world. the comic book world is what I mean. Seth Green will join us on site. We've also got Rob Corddry, and we've got Robert Kirkman talking Walking Dead.
Awesome.
Kingman. So that's Kingman. Kirkman. King. Do not confuse me. That's tomorrow morning.
Breaking Bad is good.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Me.